This afternoon at 6:10, it's the Concert Calendar, a rundown of this weekend's entertainment choices with the Hardline on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. Broadcasting live from the Metro PCS Mothership, this is Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. KTCK Dallas-Fort Worth, KTDK Sanger, KPLX HD2 Fort Worth.
Once again, Bad Radio presents Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Oh, that's your birthday today?
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
And now, here are your hosts, Bob Sturm and Dan McDowell.
Hello. Bad free speak to Bob.
Bye, girls.
Bye, girls.
At 2:58... Let's remind you one more time, the grand opening of Vitruvian Park in Addison is tonight. Come out tonight from 7 to 11 if you got nothing else planned. For the art and wine stroll in Vitruvian Park at Savoy Apartments in Addison, you can pack a picnic, enjoy a free night under the stars while enjoying artwork, Dan. Also,
go on.
You can sip and sample and enjoy four pairings that are hand-selected by Chef Richard Chamberlain. So very tasty food as well. Now, they also have brought out a huge number of televisions. Just in case there's a baseball game you're interested in, they'll try to hook up the magic box and show you. Go to addisontx.gov for more information. Now, to Groobs for this.
Hi, Bug.
Hey, man.
Cole Ellen Son and the Snoring Center and snoringcenter.com. I apologize. Bringing my nizzle and best friend and soulmate and gentleman lover, Dan McDowell.
Okay, good buddy. We have a little bit of a hot music pot, so...
Ooh. Let me fade that down.
I don't know if there's a way to get that down while...
No, there's no way to make that happen.
...keeping the hard line up. And that's where we go now, the hard line. Mike Reiner, Corby Davidson.
Mike.
They are not here.
It's Mike. Corby Davidson, the ticket.
Hello, Mike Reiner. Do you read me?
Yes, we do, Mr. Dan. How are you today?
Dan has the blues.
I'm doing fine. I just want more baseball. I root for game sevens.
You haven't been yourself.
That guy on Fox 4 was right. A lot of Ranger fans are just happy there's more baseball. They're not upset at all.
So, is it true first thing in the morning you're leaving for your Arizona Fall League vacation that you normally take?
Possibly.
What about the all-female All-American League?
No time to joke, Tom.
Is Corby with you, Mike?
And yes, he's
where
here.
Are you? I should ask that.
We are at Edwin Watts Golf in Arlington because after a sports kick to the crotch like we all had last night, everyone thinks golf.
Right. And maybe get some new equipment.
Right. So if you're the kind of guy who's roaming around your big house and your gated community and, Bob, you got your golf shirt on, you got your khakis on and
Bob,
everything,
I'm
and you're thinking, you know,
Bob,
this fall,
Bob,
I'm really going to work on eliminating Bob my slice, and then next spring,
Bob,
I'll bet I can get into Q school.
Bob.
Clearly, 1% Bob problems.
1 year,
Bob,
I'll get into Q school.
You know,
next spring, he can do.
Oh, okay.
Nothing takes the hurt of a Mark Lowe home run ball quite away, like hitting one right on the screws down the middle of the fairway.
Yep, like Q school aspirations.
Like Q dog school.
Q dog school? Sir,
what's that?
I was just wondering.
If you minimize Q school again, I will have your head.
Tell him good day.
You think this is really the day for that kind of humor?
Good day, sir.
I don't even know what Q school
is. I said good day.
Rock
and roll Q school.
All right, well, today is Friday.
We're not allowed to use letters like we're
what?
We get it.
Like we're what?
You nailed
today
it.
Today is Friday.
It's okay,
long.
McCarver.
Today is Friday, Anytober 28th, the 301st day of the year.
We're almost out of Rocktober, line four, guy. What's a triple shot for today?
Uh-oh.
Oh, gosh. I wasn't prepared.
Oh,
like
man.
Oh, no. That's all right. Enjoy an Anytober $5 footlong.
A little bit
get
of
over the blues.
A little bit of Boston?
Boston.
Oh, man, we could do that.
There are 64 days left in 2011.
More than a feeling.
Mike, on this day, in 1886, the Statue of Liberty, a gift from the people of France.
Now, did you think she was hot, Mike?
Was dedicated in New York Harbor by President Grover Cleveland.
I'd tear that up.
Well.
You'd tear up the Statue of Liberty?
You bet.
She's so tall, though.
I don't even understand
you. Maybe she's nude under that robe.
We sent her back a plane full of freedom fries.
You've never climbed up under that robe to see what's there.
She's naked under all those clothes.
Neither of you. No one has.
One Cumulus birthday this weekend.
JJ.
Happy birthday to Cumulus employee and good friend John Fox with two X's.
Oh, nice.
All right.
Happy birthday, Foxy.
I believe we've been told now he has added an X to his name. There are
three X's.
Right.
Wow.
Now he's a porn star.
The coach of the Broncos?
Foxy.
John Fox is the Bone morning show guy, right?
No, that's Adam Bomb.
No, he's the program director.
Blowing up the mornings.
He's a program director of a two-employee outfit.
Well, that may or may not be true.
But he is a young man in a business that needs young men.
Yes. Bob, he charges up the iPod.
He's the future.
He is the future. He's a smart guy, too.
Yes, he tucks in the iPod in the morning.
He hits shuffle.
Does he have a meeting?
Out.
Does he have a weekly meeting with the iPod?
Puts the iPod down.
Look, we're going to have to tighten things up around
you can't
here.
Play that much Lady Gaga.
What was with that Maroon 5 deep cut that you tried
to fit? You're wiping me out, man.
Elsewhere,
I mean, I'm not in the mood.
In birthday news, we have Terrell Davis is 39.
Are you singing A Teenage Dream?
Yeah,
I don't know what I was singing.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know what I was singing.
Really, really bad
Hall
version.
Hall of Famer, Bob, yes or no? You know what?
He's not now.
F it. I'm buying a whole new set of clubs to make me feel better. I feel like a woman right now.
Bob.
You know, the only way that I can feel happy is if I can shop.
Benoit Hoag.
Hi,
45.
Ladies. Fall my stars, great.
Howard yes.
Balls. Now, didn't he have a real bad moment on the ice one night?
He severed an ACL, I think.
That's
but,
nothing.
But I think that's
he had a
not.
Bathtub.
Did he make a really up. Bad play in a big game?
Are you thinking Sylvain
maybe I am.
Sylvain Côté?
Yeah, maybe Benoit Hoag didn't do anything.
He's the Mark Lowe of the Stars.
Is that the guy with a fake head?
Or are you thinking Grant Ledyard?
No, I'm not thinking Grant Ledyard. He's from the PEI. Him I remember. No, that's Grant Marshall.
Right.
Wow.
We're all off to a rough day here.
Bruce Jenner, 62.
We got to rely on our instincts today, Bob.
I haven't forgotten Mike McPhee.
He's a shell of himself now, Dan.
You feel like his face looks like Tony La Russa?
Who's that?
Yeah.
Bruce Jenner?
Bruce Jenner.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Bob.
Does Tony La Russa have suspicious hair?
Suspicious?
Yes.
You mean like fake?
Yes.
Suspicious.
Who would ever... suspicious.
First of all, it's uncommonly black, but also the...
Possibly. Who?
Tony La Russa.
Okay.
It's been a course, a source of commentary and
controversy.
Yeah, and controversy throughout the postseason.
You don't think he has a rug, do you?
He might. I don't think it's out of the question.
Everybody stop talking.
I think he's been transplanting from down below.
I thought we heard a bleed over from something. All right. Sorry.
You might have, because we are going from here to Fort Worth to Arlington to Dallas today, I'm told.
Huh. Well, that sounds like extra info that you don't really need.
Station.
If you would ask me.
It is extra info.
How about we just take a look at that baby? Lenny Wilkins. 74.
Whoa. What a big day.
Goodness,
Dan.
Goodness.
He's quack.
Take us through it, buddy. Tell us where you're at right now.
If you have the courage.
We got to get one stop, dude.
Charlie Daniels, 75.
Mike.
How old is his band?
How old is his fake leg? Oh, I remember you used to go on and on when I first got here to the station. devil went down to Georgia. You're all over that, your Western outfits.
No, Bob.
Dennis Franz, 67.
Greatness.
Wow. Total greatness.
Saw his butt on a NYPD Blue.
How old?
Butt.
57 or 67?
67. Bottom. You feel a little older now?
Yeah, and also I was just, when's the last time we've seen him in something?
Well, that was old butt when he showed it.
Is he spending his money on a golf course with Larry David?
Jamie Gertz, 46. Who is that?
Gertz, that's, she was in...
Square Pegs.
It says she was in Twister.
She was the cow.
Can I get
Jamie Gertz?
16 candles.
She's
in Chasing Amy.
She was on that Yes show.
Underrated.
For a while.
Thank you.
Yeah,
she was in The Lost Boys too, and Less Than Zero.
Less Than Zero.
Yeah,
she had sex.
That's all I know.
Oh,
dude. Yeah.
Totally.
Good looking brunette.
She had sex with Andrew McCarthy in the hallway on
dude,
cocaine.
Why?
That's when I thought, man,
is that like the greatest
of
movie of all time, Corby?
Yeah.
Top five.
I'm not sure I've seen it.
Less Than Zero.
Hey, Mike, she was in Ally McBeal.
My wife thinks I'm gay for seeing it.
Why?
Better or worse than Milk?
That's a guy's movie.
And because I slept with a dude.
Oh. That was your fault.
Yeah. Well, I owed him money for drugs. Dream.
That's nitpicking, isn't it?
Hey, you know what? Sometimes you got to do what you got
to
do.
Like, you saw what Robert Downey Jr. had to do.
Right.
Thought it's not embarrassing if you owe money for drugs.
No. Right.
It's just a business transaction.
It makes sense.
Well, what do you have to do?
Don't judge me.
He had to love
a service. We'll perform a.
He had to love the other man while the other man wasn't loving him.
While the other guy had his hands behind his head.
Wow. Oh. Okay.
Doing sit-ups.
So.
But it's good exercise, you know.
Dude.
All right. Hey Dan, I've got a birthday.
Yeah, let's tame up the show with Ty. Take.
Woo! We got this. Hi, guys. Mr. G's Home of the Orgasmic Sandwich brings you Alicia Knight's 46th birthday.
Alicia Knight. Now, this sounds like a more veteran performer type.
Yes, veteran performer of adult films. Double Airbags 10, Gag Factor 9, and Big White T's and Big Black D's, too.
Oh, you can't say that anymore.
Oh, Big Black Z's.
Oh.
Thank you, Mr. G's.
You can still say that.
There's a woman out here with her daughter.
They left.
Lauren Holly is 48.
Wow.
Jim Carrey's ex.
Dumb and dumber.
Lauren Holly.
Bob. I know you didn't listen I know you didn't listen to E! News yesterday, but we had the breaking news that the Farrelly brothers are working vigorously on Dumb and Dumber 2.
I thought it already happened.
No, that was somebody else.
That was a prequel.
That was Dumb and Dumberer.
One of the worst movies ever made.
I have a question about a Hardline episode.
That was an unauthorized
prequel. So after Dumb and Dumber, we now need Dumb and Dumber 2?
Right. Yes. What was Dumb and Dumber? I don't even remember that.
Yeah, that
it was really,
a prequel.
Really, really bad.
But it was unauthorized. The Farrelly brothers did not sign off
Who
on
was
it.
In it?
Your mom.
Nobody.
She was great.
Your mom was very underrated.
She got an Emmy, I think.
Gosh, I mean, it really did.
She played Dumb, not Dumberer.
I have a question for the Hardline.
Well, go ahead.
And that is, are you guys... talking about my Diamond Talk appearance, like from Game 5.
Oh, here we go, bringing it around back to Bob.
Always about him.
Back to Bob.
Well, I had a suspicious email that suggested I was on Diamond Talk for 30 minutes straight, and I thought only the Hardline could have perhaps tampered with that story.
We may or may not have said that you went on there and took a Senate filibuster. And
it was 8 minutes.
Went on and on and on
30.
And on.
That's a bit of a stretch.
Whatever. Trying to get your bill passed.
So it only seemed like 30, huh?
Does Sean call the Stars post-game?
I was told to. Mm. You don't get asked to, do you? Because they know you're just getting done with the game long after the help is emptying the trash baskets in the studio.
All I know is that Sean had to apologize to the listeners for Bob being on so long.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
And clearly.
Yeah, I'm sorry Bob was on. Here's David.
Ooh.
Wow.
What?
He's a very nice guy, but he's also...
Look, we...
Now got you on his list.
We can take shots at each other, but let's leave Dave off this, okay?
Is he having a tough day, too?
You think?
Donovan?
Yes.
Will you sit down, please?
I am sitting down.
Today
Did you
guys
is
bust Sean crying?
I've been sitting down the whole show.
What's that?
Today is the 63rd birthday of Thelma Hopkins.
Whoa! Guess who I'll be calling,
really?
Huh?
Dude, call her right now.
From Bosom Buddies.
That's really it. You can stop right there.
You don't have to stop right there, Holmes.
Family Matters.
That's right.
Wow.
Give me a break.
Text Tom her number.
Let's watched Big Mama's House.
Was that really that funny?
Actually, it was. Off. Yes. Yeah.
Also, Andy Richter is 45, Corby.
Who?
Andy Richter.
York Rangers goalie.
And Julia Roberts, 44.
Overrated. Overrated.
She has Muppet face. Now
she really does.
Spare birthdays.
Somebody go!
Don't totally understand Muppet face, but Julia Roberts fits it perfectly.
I'm sure everybody knows I'm still hanging around Dallas a little bit.
I'm
Bronco. Juan Guzman, Mike. Isn't this a good omen? Juan Guzman, 45.
Dude, you ever think you'd see the day when Juan Guzman turned 45?
How is this a good omen exactly?
Well, he's a Ranger, and he's got a
World
birthday.
Series hero of some sort.
Oh.
Juan Guzman wore number 66.
In fact...
Six.
He probably helped
Shut up,
expose...
Six!
He probably helped dispose of the Atlanta Braves in the 92 series, which means that the Braves, the last team to lose back-to-back World Series, if you want that out of the 91 and 92. So it's all coming around here, see? Wonder what kind of Jerry Curl he's working with at the age of 45.
Oh, here we go.
Boy, he did have them. And they were serious.
What was the 19-year-old pitcher that was Jose Guzman's contemporary for the Rangers?
Edwin Correa.
Contemporary? Like...
That's Thelma's phone right there.
Yep.
Randy Whitman, 52.
Oh, you're trying to call her?
Love his chocolates.
Well.
Mavericks coach.
Do you think she knows she shares a birthday with Randy
Dude,
Whitman?
Dude, what is...
Cavaliers coach.
What are we listening to? Why does
Thelma Hopkins callback?
That's the whole music.
This is one of the worst technological advancements of our generation.
I don't get it.
Sorry. Your call cannot be completed at this
time. Oh, she rejected us.
Hang up and try your call again later. Thank you.
Uncool,
wow, it's
Thelma.
Cody Ross of the San Francisco Giants.
Slut.
Hey.
It looks exactly like him. Here's one for Corby. J. Don Blake is 53.
How are we going to
remember? Joe Don Baker.
From Walking Tall.
One of the few mustachioed professional golfers.
I thought that was a former OU running back.
That's Joe Don Looney.
Oh.
And Mickey, for you, Ernie Mills is 43.
Ernie Mills.
That's a former cowboy, great.
Is that the tight end?
No, that's Mike Lucky.
That was the guy who was going to... Make the big difference. He was the big difference maker.
Former Pittsburgh
Steelers. Oh, he's a third receiver?
I believe Ernie Mills' hamstring single-handedly took down a Cowboys season.
You know what? Nothing wrong with Ernie Mills.
Did he change the offense out of
what was his name?
David LaFleur.
No, the third tight end, Mike
Lucky.
Yeah, Mike Lucky.
That shows what you don't know about this Cowboy offense, Bob.
Right.
Who was the white receiver from Patrick Jeffers?
Racist. Yes,
was that
here,
same?
From Fort Worth Country Day.
Yeah.
Thomas Jefferson.
Richards.
Born on this day now dead.
Poor Mickey.
Edith Head.
Wait a minute.
The costume designer.
I got a question for y'all. Remember
Archie Bunker yelled that all the time.
Wow.
That's why he's there and you're
that
not.
Is a horse.
Hey, why is he on there and I'm not?
He makes the big bucks right there.
That's an 11th inning home run right there, man.
That's right.
You guys notice something different about today and yesterday?
No snake.
Friday.
Go.
That we were forced to be done with this thing at 3:05 because of pregame and all that. Well, what's the difference today?
Tom didn't overdo it.
Looks
today.
Like Cat gave up.
He did.
Cat quit.
He surrendered.
Five, and it didn't work.
4-3.
But I'm not done.
Look, we're done now. And
but I have things.
Now he's back.
He just took charge again.
What are these snacks you have? Good.
is our time.
Too loud.
Here. 30 minutes past 3 p.m. Am I even on?
No. You're a little
low.
Central Daylight Time, according to the tower of the Friendly Mercantile. The tuners on America's favorite radio station, Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket.
What the
Sport. Warmest greetings, tickheads and ticket chicks. It is Friday, the 28th of October. It's time to heat two trice up. Mill about smartly throughout the premises, making certain every radio in sight is set to America's favorite station for music and news, and then doing whatever you must to assure that this remains the case into perpetuity. This is Mike Reiner, legendary reporter, reporting today from Edwin Watts Golf in Arlington, alongside the Knox City Knocker, the Terlingua comic, Dan Bloodcock, Ty Walker, the great beast in his natural habitat, all set to go with that ticket ticker. At the helm, Shoopy. Alexis will be along with Trafico Trafico. And I'll be here. But right now, here's the Cobra.
Here he is, the Cobra. Here's Cobra.
Hey, Dill. Well, this sucks. This absolutely sucks.
Oh, what a day. What a day.
This has been... I'm glad that I had stuff to do this morning. Otherwise, I think my brain would have exploded, and I would have just gone into a deep, dark state of depression. This has just been the weirdest 20 hours or so.
You could have called me. I would have brought you a Whopper Jr.
I needed a Whopper Jr. this morning.
Would have made it all right, little buddy.
Damn, what a day.
What a day. What a day indeed.
I have not read anything. I have not watched anything concerning what happened last night. I have not listened to this radio station that I'm such a big fan of for 1 second outside of the time that I put this headset on.
All I know is what is.
I know what happened last night, and I don't need to know anymore.
And what is it's left us on the verge of something absolutely monumental. Either way, I mean, we're at a tipping point tonight.
Yep.
A true tipping point.
You're right, though. One way or the other, there's going to be one hell of a story to tell down the road.
There sure is.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
Yeah. And now it falls to us to try and talk people through this, try and get everybody's head right, except the only problem is...
I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, my head's not right.
No.
I just know a couple of things. There are a couple things that I'm clinging to, and that's probably going to be the thrust of the data that you're going to get from me today. That's probably going to be the message from me to the masses today. Now, yours may be very, very different. I don't know, because we haven't had a lot of banter betwixt ourselves about this either.
No.
But today, we are here at Edwin Watts. They are having their big sidewalk sale all weekend. The idea here is to get you ready for fall golf, Cobra, because a lot of people play golf this time of year.
It is a wonderful time of the year to play golf, Michael.
That's right.
I can attest to that.
That's right. Incredible savings can be yours and the best deals of the season on equipment, apparel, and much more. The newest products from Callaway, Bridgestone, Adams, STX Putters, and Ashworth are all here. And we have free barbecue from Cooper's Old Time Pit Barbecue.
How about that?
Yeah.
Free food, free snacks.
How about that?
I want that.
Is it those wraps? What's inside
snacks.
Them?
Snacks.
It's barbecued lettuce, isn't it?
Quail.
Sausage and turkey.
Fresh baked ham.
And I think bunny. I think we have bunny in there.
Bunny?
Yeah.
Maybe a little squirrel, too?
I don't know about squirrel.
Tree rat?
I know.
They were a little squirrel on Boardwalk Empire the other night.
Tree rat. You want a tree rat?
Gross. Yeah. So if you'd like a little...
Those guys weirded me out.
I liked them.
What were they? Just outdoorsmen who didn't care for the city and...
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know what they were.
That was a weird scene.
I was just taken by the presence of Richard Harrell.
It was
on
a very Sopranos-like episode.
It was. Very Sopranos.
Yeah, the Sopranos had a lot of scenes out in the woods that were...
Awesome.
Awesome. Yes.
I just remember the snow scene. The chasing the Russian guys through the snow.
Yeah.
And then they were Christopher and what's his, Pauly, almost called him Big Pauly, like Big Poppy, were eating ketchup packets. Remember that in the car?
Mm-hmm.
Give me that. Don't hug the ketchup.
And, of course, that's where, what is her name, Christopher's girlfriend?
Adriana.
Yeah, she met a very unfortunate demise there as well, out in the woods.
She needed to get got.
What was she, cooperating with the feds?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. She got turned.
I got to watch that series again.
You know, we all need to watch that series again.
That
series was great. Shipping?
Yes,
Shipping. Tell me something good.
Well, I can tell you that Autoflex and Metro PCS bring you this.
So they're leveraging this, or being
leveraging so hard.
That's good.
Real quick, though, before you get into this, can we ask Ty? Because Ty drew the short straw of going to the hockey game.
Yep.
And he sent us that picture right before face-off. What was it? Seriously, what do you estimate the crowd was yesterday? Was it in the hundreds?
No, it was, I would say, my eyeball guess, 2,000. Between 2,000 and 2,500. They announced 84 or 8,600. No way.
Wow.
I feel awful for them.
It was a very tough break for them.
Yep. They've had many over these past few weeks, it seems like.
Right.
All right.
And they're good, too.
I know. They are good.
Even though they didn't win last night, but how can you expect them to get their heads right with playing a game on a night like that?
I'm rooting for them harder this year than I think I have in years and years and years.
So yesterday, there we are. In crazy Fort Worth, we have a little game-watching scene going on over at the Rock Bottom Grill, Rock Bottom Bar and Grill there on Blue Bonnet Circle. And we certainly had a really good time over there. Crazy Fort Worth really turned out for this. And by the time the pregame show was winding down, it was time to get a little baseball up and running, that place was full of like-minded souls, and that's what we wanted.
Dude, it was actually really, really cool. There were so many listeners there.
Yes. We wanted to, you know, barring being in St. Louis, which, I don't know, we might or might not have could have done, but we thought that the place for us to be would be here on the ground with you, the Ticket P1, for this wonderful night, which we were so hoping would happen. And we were on our way to that for a while. Anyway, the game starts, and there we are. And everybody's watching the game. Everybody's into the game, and it's going just magnificently. Now, earlier that day, we had heard that there was going to be a little bit of a change in the scene over there at the Rock Bottom Bar and Grill later on in the evening.
Bottom.
And I guess I didn't pay sufficient mind to this.
We actually mentioned it on the air.
Yeah. Yeah. And I still don't think I got the complete and full impact of it. But what had happened was that probably well back down the road before any of this postseason World Series ticket road show confluence ever happened, they had rented the place out to a TCU fraternity. And there was going to be a TCU fraternity party there that night.
Yeah. Now, I really wasn't thinking when the guy told me there was going to be a fraternity party there either. I didn't put two and two together and realize what weekend this was, too.
Right. So, I guess we were in such a baseball fog.
Yeah.
And focusing so intently on what was about to happen that you pretty much could have said just about anything to us, and we might have gotten 15% of
right.
it. You know,
there's going to be a Hitler convention here at 10:30. Oh, really? Okay.
Is he coming? So, there is the setup. That's where we were, and there we are. We're making our way through the game, watching the back and forth of it all, just knowing that, okay, that was another bad play there, but after this, the Rangers will get it together, and then they get back-to-back homers and go up by three, and, you know, it's getting toward the late innings, and they've got the good bullpen and everything, and I'm thinking that, okay, time to start counting down these outs. Well, it's about this time that we are all, everybody in the Rock Bottom Bar just became overwhelmed by the presence of the costumed youth of America, which started showing up.
10:30. The thing is that when they say that they rented the place out, they rented it out, and it was time specific. 10:30 on the nose.
Yes.
Now, the game first pitch is at 7:05. It could be over in 3 hours, could be over in 3.5, could be over in 4.5, who knows? But at 10:30, with this bar already nut to butt packed,
here with Ranger people.
With Ranger people and P1s, and everyone is dressed in Ranger gear.
Or, as I heard some of the costumed youth of America refer to us, adults.
Adults, yes. So, here they come at 10:30. Rain or shine, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they come piling in.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't, what was it, the 7th, middle of the 7th, 8th
yeah,
at that time?
Yeah.
Okay.
The game had a long way to go still.
But we were in such high tension times, and here comes a gladiator, and a demon, what? And a hooker,
and
a
Sons
nurse.
Of Anarchy guy.
Yeah.
And
a hobo.
Yes.
A homo.
A guy with big rubber boobs attached to the front of his shirt.
Dude, and they just kept coming and coming and coming in, and they're so incredibly wasted.
Yes, before the thing even starts.
Like the first potty trip that I had to make when the party entered in, I walk in there, and it's a small bathroom already, and they are dragging some guy dressed as like the Tin Man or something from The Wizard of Oz. They're dragging him out of the toilet. He had thrown up everywhere.
Awesome.
Yeah. And the party hadn't even started yet.
Right. Meanwhile, you have all these young, nubile nymphets with boobs hanging out and short skirts and shirts that are too big for them with who knows what they're wearing under there, if anything at all, and these crazy costumes, just real hoary and everything. And
hoary?
Yeah. And, you know, there we are. We're trying to watch the game, and all this is going on. I'm getting very, very annoyed with them because they think nothing of walking in front of the TVs.
They don't even know what's going on.
No, they have no idea.
I mean,
they did not care.
Most of these girls are from out of town. Even if they were from in town, you think that right at that point in their lives when they're 20,
no.
that they give a rat's ass about the Texas Rangers?
Not one. So you had those two colliding scenes, and the Cobra did mention that a number of these participants were pretty drunk by the time they got there. In fact, before we left, there were a couple of cops on hand for this, and they had to get involved in some things. And rough some people up and get them out of there.
Not only get involved, get very involved.
Yes.
To the point of running through the bar, grabbing these kids, handcuffing these kids, taking them straight to jail.
What the hell?
Danny, it was a scene out of a Clockwork Orange. It was bizarro.
So not only do you have to go to the bathroom and flanked on either urinal is a pirate and then maybe Mayor McCheese in a pool of vomit.
Yeah.
The cops get involved and it turns into a riot.
And patrons, adults, as we like to call them, adults started squaring off with the youth.
Awesome. Yes. Old man strength.
Did you see the guy with the long hair who I still don't know if it was a wig or...
Yeah.
Or real hair? Okay, did you see the square off between him and some ranger guy?
A bloopy did.
Yeah, telling this kid to sit the Z down,
mm-hmm.
or something bad was going to happen. And, I mean, it got to a pretty high decibel level. And I mean, it was getting contentious in there.
And then, there at the end, all this is going in. Things are not going well in the game. And... in comes the DJ setup.
Oh, my God.
They move him up to the front of the room.
Where we were broadcasting.
Right, where we were broadcasting from earlier. And this little kind of, I don't know, hobble off to the left of where the TVs are. So he gets all set up and everything.
Now, they have the sound up on the TV?
Yeah.
But okay. you couldn't hear it.
There were too many people in there, and it was too rambunctious. Yeah, they probably had it cranked to 11, and you couldn't hear a thing.
Now, did the DJ start rocking during the game?
No.
All right.
No.
But he was setting up.
And he was setting up, and the instant the game was over, he gets out there and says, "All right, now, everybody who is not part of the private party that's about to happen here, you have to leave."
Yeah.
I mean, this is like the instant the game was over.
Oh, less than, I mean, like, it's like he predicted the home run. As the ball was in the air, he gets on the mic. You know, and he was like, "All right, everybody, if you're not part of the private party, you're going to have to get out of here. I repeat, close your tabs and get the hell out of here." And we just, I mean, I'm in a state of sports shock of the likes that I've never been in my life. And here I am being told to get out of there.
Listen to this, Danny. This is him over the Rangers.
You got some twerpy little turd hipster telling you got to get... leave the bar after the Rangers lose that game.
Meanwhile, there's a 20-year-old chick, you know, wearing no panties, grinding on a devil right in front of me. And I mean, it was just I'm just looking around, going, what is happening? What just happened to my life? I repeat, if you're not part of the private party, I'm looking at you, table right in the middle, right there. Sign your tabs and get out of here now. And we're all just, I mean, we're all wearing our Rangers stuff, and we're just kind of looking down, and...
we're in sports shock.
I can't believe somebody didn't punch the DJ.
Well, finally, I just got up and left.
Yeah.
I got up, I walked out. I didn't say goodbye to anybody. I flipped a $20 bill at the waitress and got out of there. And that was it for me. Unfortunately,
your tab was 40.
You know, Rick, the guy sitting there with the Cardinals jersey on, McAdoo, he ended up picking up the tab.
Oh, he did?
I don't know if he picked it up for everybody.
I owe him then.
Yeah, I owe him too. I owe him big time.
Bottom.
But, oh yeah, so Irwin just reminded me that we were still sitting there, and you had left, and when you left, it was like you were so slumped over, and you look like me on any given day, head pointing straight to the ground, taking like, you know, a quarter millimeter step, just barely moving, just shaking your head, looking at the ground. It was an awful sight. And finally, Irwin and I are sitting there with a couple other people from our party, and they just walk up and take our table. Like, will this help you leave? You don't have any place to sit. Go. Get out of it. This is a private party.
Get the hell out of here.
It was great. Well,
like a horrible scene to celebrate a win.
You know what?
If they'd have won, they would have kicked you out anyway.
No, I'm telling you right now, if they would have won...
Yeah.
We all would have stayed.
It would have been a riot.
Yeah, I think so.
Awesome.
We would have just been dancing with girls and just having a ball. I mean, who knows? Who knows? If that Josh home run was it, who knows what would have happened last night? But, in the meantime, we wanted no part of any of it.
I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to have my space infringed upon by anybody. I didn't want to be troubled with the issues of the youth of America and their fraternity party. So That was it, man. I got the hell out of there and headed for the safer climes of the Barley House.
I hate kids.
Did you see, the funniest thing, though, was there was a girl dressed as, you know, Slutty McSlutterstein. And
she was Jewish?
She's on... She's on her knees.
She could have been. They're not like that.
This is at
That's
the
all
end.
I've been told.
This is at the end. She's on her hands and knees, like scouring the floor.
Would she lose a contact?
And I kind of, she's right next to me. I go, what are you doing? And she looks up. She's like, I'm looking for my vampire teeth. I was like, and you're going to put them back in when you find them on this floor?
Yes.
That's what I'm doing. You see, I'm a vampire. I'm a
vampire.
Yeah, they complete the costume.
I watch True Blood.
Gotta go.
Fascinating evening, though.
A truly fascinating yet horrid evening. And guess what?
We have to talk about it.
That's right. We do.
Awesome.
Until the pregame show gets up and running at 5:30, because there is Game 7. And that means there is a Game 7 pregame show coming down here today. And that is all right here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Working on two decades in Dallas-Fort Worth. Tell your friends, it ain't good, it's bad. Radio. Bob, Dan, and Donnie. Middays, noon till 3 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Uh-oh.
Nah, 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 nah. We got a warning light.
All right. Join the Ticket's own Shoopy and the Stars Saturday night for Hat Trick or Treat. Before you watch the Stars take on Satan, hang out on the concourse, and kids and adults wear your costume to the game, and you could win a meet and greet with a Stars player. And four glass seats to a future Stars game. Get to the game early on Saturday night for Hat Trick or Treat with Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket, the Stars, and Shoopy. Now, what are you going to be doing there?
I don't know. I'm not even sure if I'm actually doing this, to be honest.
Oh, you're not?
I've heard conflicting reports. But be out there regardless.
Yes.
And have fun with your bottom.
Now, are you going to be on the ice before the game?
Yeah, I think I'm actually skating.
Players or something?
No, I'll be skating with the first line.
Oh, so they're actually...
They're stunting.
Yes, they're actually going to let you take a shift, huh?
Yeah.
A what?
Shift.
Yeah. All right. Where to start? Let's just start by me telling you I can only think of one other World Series game I've ever seen that even begins to compare with that which we saw last night, that being the fabled 1960 Yankees-Pirates game that I talk about so much. But even that didn't have all this. That didn't go one strike away twice.
You know, I don't want to put the cart ahead of the horse, but are we looking at, in retrospect, and let's just take away our biases here, are we looking at the greatest World Series game ever played?
We might be. There's some people out there who do think this could be the greatest World Series ever, period.
Already?
Yeah.
Well, that's weird.
That's a little bit of a reach, I think. But, you know, it usually takes a little time for all that to sink in and, you know, perspective of that nature to be found
what about
by everybody.
That crazy, was it the Yankees-Diamondback series?
Yeah,
that thing was
pretty good.
Nuts.
The thing is, though, you know, we're not that far away from calling this. You take away what happened in the last couple innings with the dramatics. We could have come on here and said this is the worst World Series game ever, based on the style of play, based on the errors that were made, based on the bonehead moves that were made.
It was not a clean game.
Dude, it was awful.
The weakness of the bullpen exposed.
I mean, I remember there was so much that went on in the early portions of the game. I turned to Mike at the rock bottom bar, and I was like, you know, if this was June 13th, and it was a Wednesday, and the Rangers were playing the Blue Jays, if the game ended right here, we would have three segments of stuff to talk about.
Yes. I mean, so much had already happened. There'd been so many bad plays, odd bounces, you know, things that had happened that were just so unusual that I mean, it was usually games worth right about then.
I mean, you had the worst play I've ever seen in Major League Baseball. The David Freese drop.
Yes.
Never seen anything like that.
Yes. And there I was thinking, surely, that with that, David Freese was being fitted for the horns of that old goat.
What?
Don't say that.
The goat went somewhere else.
Yeah, the goat went and peed. Sorry.
He was fitted for a crown, not a goat
right.
head.
That's what actually was going on the top of his head at that time. Well, it was a game that I've never seen anything like it in the World Series. In the World Series, you're not supposed to have games like that. You're supposed to have nice, crisp, two-and-a-half-hour games. You know, and I thought that was what it was going to be. And, okay, if the Rangers lose a nice, crisp, two-and-a-half-hour game and there's Game 7 tonight, then, okay, I'm fine with that. You know, that makes it somewhat palatable. You'd love for them to finish it off in six, but if it's that kind of game and the other team plays them, you know, plays them by a little bit and they just get beat, okay, you roll into game seven, let's see what happens tonight. But boy, rolling into game seven, feeling about it all like this, man, I did not expect this.
No, I told the boys last night on the postgame show.
I heard that, by the way.
I would too. You were brilliant.
Remarkably sober.
Thank you. I would have much rather seen a 17-0 game.
I would too.
For real. I mean, where they just got blown right out of the gym and Pujols went nuts or whoever. It didn't even matter. Just say there was a cavalcade of errors and for whatever
now,
reason.
Your math was a little bit off. You said you didn't care if there would have been seven grand slams. That would have made it 28-0. I did notice that.
Dang it, man. I was drunk. No, but I mean, you walk away from a game like that, and you just kind of throw it away. And you say it was just
right.
like last Saturday. It was just one of those games, you know. It happens to baseball teams. It happens to any team in sports where you get blown out. But now, you know, you look up at the TV, and it just says, "Can Rangers recover?"
Yeah,
and that question would not be there.
Right. That would have been a game that would have been, you know, easy to get over.
Yeah.
Because it's the kind of thing that happens to teams all the time during the regular season, even good ones. Will get their asses really kicked from time to time, or you'll go out there on a night like I was talking about where the game takes about 2.5 hours and both pitchers pitch really well and you lose 3-2 or 2-1 or something like that. That happens too. What doesn't happen, though, is this, where you get to be one strike away twice during the course of a game where you lead 5 times and you can't hold it, where it looks like on one particular at-bat, there is the 27th out of the game that's about to come your way, but no, that doesn't happen. And then you get into all the other stuff. You start looking back on all the opportunities squandered offensively early.
Oh, first inning.
Yeah, when there were so many runners on base. And
first and third, nobody out.
And nobody could get that big hit or anything like that. You know, and just all the defensive misplays, and it just went on and on. I mean, there was an ill wind blowing all around that game last
night. Yeah, for both teams.
Yeah.
You know, the amount. Michael Young.
God. As much of a blessing that dude's been, he has been so exposed in the National League Park at first base.
Yeah, and you know what? The guy
there's
is...
There's nothing you can do about it.
There's nobody swinging the bat right now. His timing is really, really good up the plate.
He's killing you on that corner, though.
Absolutely killing you.
There's
the juxtaposition.
Yeah, but he's not killing you so bad that he won't be in there tonight, because he is. Now, we do have this coming down. Apparently, now there is some question as to whether Nelson Cruz will be able to go tonight. And
they said that officially in the lineup.
Yeah,
and they were going to go through their, you know, pregame routine.
Right, they're going to have batting practice and everything.
Reevaluate.
And, right, and if he can't, that means Gentry will be in right field tonight. They tell us.
Why not Moreland?
Better outfielder. I mean, can you take defensive chances after a game like that last night?
No, not at all. And Gentry showed a little something at the plate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. There is that. Now, I'm assuming Napoli is okay. I haven't heard anything about him not being there.
Man, that guy, I guarantee when he woke up this morning, his ankle was the size of a football.
Had to have been.
I mean, there's no other way around it. You have an injury like that, and you're playing on pure adrenaline.
Yep.
And whatever they shot him up with there in between innings. And that's it. And the fact that that guy was able to do what he did, throw a guy out at third from the squat position.
Continue to hit.
And just carry on like none of that ever even happened.
Tough son of a bitch,
man. Boy, what a huge play him picking off Matt Holliday was.
He is a man.
Who, by the way, will not be in the Cardinals lineup tonight.
Yeah, and that's what my friends up in St. Louis were, you know, they were like, Matt Holliday's on the sideline with a hangnail, and there's Mike Napoli squatting behind the plate after snapping his ankle in 35 places.
Right.
You know, they were pissed off.
Man, Holliday's a tough bastard, too.
Yeah,
if he could play, he would be in there.
There's no doubt. Yeah, that's the thing. You know, I mean, we may question Nelly if he's not in there, but the bottom line is if he's not there,
it's for a reason.
It is really bad.
Yeah.
Really bad.
Well, if he's not there, all season long, guys in this lineup have stepped up to pick up those who are there and those who aren't, and it's not been that big of an issue, so let's see if they can do that one more time. All right, 412 here on Sports Radio 1310. The ticket, I would bet that this is going to be the topic throughout the presentation today. So while we're on this, let's take a look at what kind of shape the Ranger bullpen may be in after last night.
Broadcasting live from the Metro PCS mothership, this is Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. KTCK Dallas-Fort Worth, KTDK Sanger, KPLX HD2 Fort Worth. This thing is going all seven.
Nobody expected that when Texas was up 7-4, we would be heading to a game seven.
Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket means what we say. Baseball is a talking sport, and this is the only place to talk about Rangers, Cardinals, and the World Series.
I understand that it's not over until you get that last out, and I was just sitting there praying that we get that last out.
When that triple went off the wall by Freeze, I thought, no, this can't be happening.
One strike away from a world championship twice.
A strike away, twice, and they couldn't get her done.
Instant knee-jerk reactions and hot sports opinions as the Rangers head into a deciding World Series Game 7. Brought to you by Jay Gilligan's, Big Daddy's Liquor Stores, DriverSelect.com, Southwest Airlines, and only on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
Crude also on 99.5 HD2.
This hour of The Hardline brought to you by Driver Select.
The Metroplex's baseball show of record, The Hardline, has a special Rangers-Cardinals World Series pregame show along with the rest of the ticket team. Today, beginning at 5:30, brought to you by Jay Gilligan's, Centennial Big Daddy's Majestic, and live on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Whoa!
We okay?
No, we're not. Oh, there we go.
Hey, music.
Yeah, what do you know?
Now play the whole segment to make up for that.
All right. That's what we'll do if you want, Shoopy.
No, I don't. Kill it now. Kill it with fire.
There you go. No sooner said than done. It's 422. This is Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. I would imagine we'll have some entertainment news next. Maybe that can pick things up today. I wanted to talk about the bullpen situation tonight, but let's save that for the pregame show. I need to check your pulse. I've never seen you like this.
Never?
Never. I've seen you after OU national championship game defeats. I've received the halftime call of concession before.
Yeah.
I saw you in 2006.
Yeah.
But I've never seen this. Are you giving up? Do you still believe, Cobra?
I know the only thing that you're hanging your hat on. Yeah, I know you haven't mentioned this yet, and I'm assuming this is what you're hanging your hat on, is the back-to-back thing, that this is a team that hadn't lost back-to-back games.
No, there's more to it than that, but go ahead.
There is, okay.
Yeah.
Because that's all I got. Yeah, that's all I got. I can't imagine. If somehow this team comes back and wins this game, then they are more manly than I ever thought. And this is, like Bill James said, one of the great teams of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know how you do it. I don't know how any group of human beings can come back from a game like that and win. And you look in the annals of sports, it doesn't happen very often. When you lose games like that, a game six,
mm-hmm.
you come back, mm-hmm. and you get your act together mm-hmm. somehow, some way, and win. Recent history, at least.
Yeah.
You have to do what I think that this team is doing right now, and that is simplify the drama that happened last night. Because in any other setting outside of the World Series or a playoff game, that's just a bad game. And people, I did watch a little MLB Network today, and I have read some stuff since this morning. And the people that want to rip Wash, and I know we'll probably get into some nuts and bolts and X's and O's of some of the decision making, but when you put this in context, this team handed the ball to their elite closer, a rookie of the year, an all-star with a two-run lead, and he didn't get it done.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
I agree.
It's just a game that didn't work out for him.
But the thing is, it's easy to say that, and I think it's been real easy for these guys to forget certain games and not worry about losing Tampa Game 1, not worrying about losing in Detroit Game 5 or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Really easy to forget about losing Game 1 of the World Series. This is different.
Well,
and we all know it's different.
Yeah,
I mean, let's
of course.
Not try. Let's
no,
not,
no,
hang
no.
on, Danny. Hang on. Let's not act like it isn't, because this is as bad. This is potentially, depending on what happens tonight, it's the worst loss in the history of this city, and it's not even close. You give me the Ice Bowl. You give me the catch. You give me the two Steelers Super Bowls. You
2006
give me 2006.
Mavericks.
You give me the Stanley Cup in 2000. You combine all those, mm-hmm. and it doesn't come close to what happened last night. It's the worst.
It makes you see kind of what a charmed sports life we've led around here.
Yes.
To have so few losses that just, tear your insides out of you like this.
Like you're saying. I mean, look, this is not – I'm not like you as far as my Ranger fandom goes, but this has hit me harder than anything that I've ever been involved in sports-wise. And like you said, you named off national championship losses
mm-hmm.
and Cowboy games that would wipe me just straight on the mat.
Mm-hmm.
This is worse. And I've never felt this way in my life when dealing with a sporting event. And I almost feel like a queen talking about it. But what happened last night, my kids will never experience something like that, ever. You know why? Because no other team can get that close. Yeah, they'll be like, well, in 2033 when we were at the 1 foot line and had four chances to get in and couldn't do it to win the Super Bowl, I still say that's not that close. It's not as close as being one strike away
twice.
With a two-run lead.
Yeah.
And one strike, man. One strike. This city will never experience that again. Now, if they win tonight, it'll be a footnote to one of the great games in the history of the World Series. But if they lose, this will define this baseball team, this baseball franchise, until they reverse it. This is it. This will be the defining moment of the Texas Rangers, and unless they win a World Series, it always will be.
All right, here is what I'm hanging my hat on. I'm hanging it on the two losses in a row thing. I'm hanging it on what I've seen from this team all year, the makeup of this team, the fabric of this team, which I've just been so overwhelmed with all year. I'm counting on that to hold sway once again tonight. And I'm also hanging my hat on my newfound theory, my newfound sports theory, that players don't really much care about how wins and losses come down. This was developed in the NBA playoffs this year.
With Portland?
Yes, with Portland. I thought that surely after Portland came back from 23 points down, I thought that they were going to win that series anyway, and I thought, now surely the Mavericks are done. And what happened?
Yeah.
That's for us to stress over. That's the difference
right.
between fans and players.
Right.
That's the thing that separates us from them.
Right.
Obviously, in natural ability and God-given talent.
And I got to thinking about all that. Okay, I sat here and agonized as I watched them blow a 23-point lead in this thing against a team that I thought was going to take them out anyway. And yet, here they are. They continue their playoff run. They beat Portland. They go to Los Angeles, and we sit there and watch in astonishment as they take care of the mighty Lakers and send that crowd home, which was glorious. And they go on and on and on, and I keep going back to that Portland game, and that is exactly the conclusion that I came to. You know, that's the only way I could rationalize that, because while games like that and games like this last night just are, you know, ice picks through the end of the chest for us, it's not that way for players. I don't know why that is. Maybe because as they've made their way up through high school, college, the minor leagues, whatever the case may be, they've been involved in any number of games like that before. You know, it's where sometimes it works out for you, sometimes it works out against you, but to them, it's just a game. It's just a game where things either go right or they don't. And last night, they didn't.
I'm sorry. I mean...
You don't buy any of that?
No, I see where you're coming from. I totally do. But, man, yesterday was so different.
I know.
From losing your high school game.
I know.
Or losing to Portland after a 23-point lead. This is like blowing a 56-point lead. I mean, it's way worse. And plus, that was the first round of the NBA playoffs.
See, that's the thing, though. I don't think there are any degrees with this thing. I don't think this is way worse or way better or anything. It just is.
Then they're not human beings if they're not affected by that. That's my biggest problem with what's going to go on tonight, is that there's not many people out there who give the Rangers a chance. There really aren't. And rightfully so, for the same reason. How can you come back from that? How can you, as a living, breathing human being, and I understand that these are competitors and they do this for a living and it's every day and they've had games, you know, where they've lost that they've been able to forget about. How do you forget that? It's so different.
Yeah, it is. And for you and me, it's impossible.
And we're going to be looking at a game, you know, on down the line here that people say is the greatest World Series game ever. Well, it's the worst game for us.
Yes.
It's the worst game in the history of the sport. For us. And those guys played it. We just watched it. And you know, I always hear from guys that used to play that as upset as you are, the players are twice as pissed. I think David Volk told me that, our buddy that went to Nebraska and was our fighter. He was like, you know, you guys get upset over certain things. He goes, just imagine what that team is feeling inside that locker room. Mm-hmm. A game that they should have won. They don't even know what to do.
After 162 games, Corby, and the DS, the League Championship Series, and a Game 7 in a World Series, if we as fans think that group of people, that group of men in there, are going to allow the way they lost last night to affect the way they play tonight, we are fools.
I hope you're right.
I know I'm right. They may lose tonight, Corby, but I don't think they're going to go out there and lay down and get their asses handed
to them. No, of course not. No, I don't think they're going to lay down. But I think somewhere in the recess of their brain, there's going to be that little...
If something goes wrong, it's going to be, uh-oh, here we go again.
Or man, God, we were so effing close.
I don't think so, man.
I don't think it will either.
I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't think if Murphy's up there with an 0-2 count, he's going to be like, oh, man, I can't do this. I'm not good enough. They're better than me.
No. I don't think that'll ever enter their minds either. But look, if we were on the let's put it this way, if this happened just the reverse, and we just saw the greatest Ranger game ever, obviously this is the people in St. Louis are calling this is it. This is with 10 World Series championships. That's the greatest game ever. That's what they're saying up there. We'd be saying the same thing. And the confidence level that we would have right now in that team winning a Game 7 would be unbelievable.
Well, that's another thing they're going to have to fight through, but I think they can, man. I think they can. I think the makeup and the fabric of this team, as we've seen all year, is so strong that I think they're going to... I think my theory is going to hold some water here tonight.
Well, I hope you're right. And like I was saying earlier, I just don't want this to be... I mean, look, we had a love fest yesterday. And I threw out the warning a couple of times. We're setting ourselves up. Let's be very careful here.
Yes.
We are setting ourselves up.
Yes.
And Lord have mercy, I had no idea how we were setting ourselves up for the ultimate heartbreak. And within that Love Fest yesterday, the one thing that I don't want to happen, because I truly do respect those guys a ton, I don't want this to be their moment. And it very well may be.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about 10 years from now, because I don't know when they're going to get back, you know? And I don't want to be Debbie Downer here, but, you know, we could be looking at a group of guys 5 years from now that aren't here anymore, who look back at this, and they may go win with somebody else and say, that was our moment, that was our time. And our lives are defined by one strike away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not, and it's not like Bill Bucknery where we boo him out of town because there's no reason to. They didn't do anything wrong. They got beat. But, you know,
this doesn't go on to one guy.
No, not at all. But as a team, yeah, and I don't want that. I don't want that to be replayed every time a World Series Game 6 rolls around. You know,
mm-hmm.
Which it will be.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is beyond anything that we, as big as we feel this is right now, if they lose tonight, it's bigger. It's way bigger. So
yeah,
that's...
that doesn't, and that, you know, is regardless of what happens tonight.
That's my fear.
All right. We're going to postpone entertainment news for a segment because we got going so good on that. So we'll have more. Right now it's 4:30.
Remember, this is Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Dreams are easy. The Ticket and Dos Equis are throwing three Halloween parties Saturday night at Fat Daddy's in Mansfield from 6 until 8, Sports City Cafe in Mesquite from 8 until 10, and the greatness of Third Base in Frisco from 9:30 until 11. P1s, come dress. Take part in the costume contest for cash, and you can also play costume bowling for your chance to win Stars tickets. All right, so I guess we'll do E-News at 5:10. Does that sound like a plan?
Yeah, sure. We'll see. We'll get around to it at some point. Our friends over at Grantland.com had some interesting stuff on the game last night.
Oh, sorry.
And, you know, we all know we're up against it here, right? I mean, we're at the bottom of a cliff right now, trying to scale up 14,000 feet in about 7 seconds. That seems like what this team has to overcome.
Yes. It's a very perilous situation.
It's still an elimination game for them, too.
You're right. You're right, Danny.
It's the last game of the 2011 baseball season.
Of the last 13 occasions in which a major league team had a 3-2 playoff series lead, then lost Game 6 on the road, 12 of those teams also lost Game 7.
That is daunting.
Most.
No doubt about it.
The only exception, the 06 Cardinals, who lost Game 6 of the NLCS at Shea, but won Game 7 when Yachty hit a two-run homer in the ninth. They also take a look back at the most recent instances when a team blew a late-inning lead in a pivotal World Series game and whether they were ever able to recover from it. And they took samples from World Series in 2002, 2001, 96, 93, 91, 86, as we all know of, 85, 80, and 75. Now, they point to the 75 series as the one good omen for the Rangers, because we all know about that.
Mm-hmm.
And as a kid, as a little kid, as a five-year-old, I was fully aware, you know, in the coming years of Game 6. Game 6 meant one thing. And I thought that the Red Sox won the World Series.
No. Many are surprised to find out, you know, as they get a little older and
yeah.
Learn a little bit more about the entirety of that World Series, that no, that series was won by the Big Red Machine, despite the fact that, you know, the thing everybody talks about is the Carlton Fisk home run.
And the thing is, I don't remember one thing about Game 7. I don't remember seeing anything about it, and it was a dramatic game in the ninth inning.
Yes.
You know, it was tied, and Pete Rose and Tony Perez got a couple of singles, and Joe Morgan drove him home to win the game. And then they closed it out in the bottom of the inning. But as they point out here, that was what is known as the Big Red Machine, four Hall of Famers, 108 wins that year. You kind of get it. You get that. And I'm not saying the Rangers can't reach that feat, but it would be pretty lofty goal to have a Big Red Machine team.
Yeah, it would, but at the time, what were those guys?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
At the time, those guys were just, it was a team with four really good players on it.
Eight times, though, since 1975, since that moment, a World Series team has blown a late lead that would have clinched a world championship or put them in the driver's seat to win one. Only one of those teams, the 2001 Diamondbacks, rebounded to win the series. They had home field, though, in 6 and 7, and they had Schilling and Randy Johnson pitching for them in 6 and 7. So of all the teams that blew what their teams thought was to be, you know, just a cataclysmic a loss of epic proportions, they're the only ones who came back. And that was the, what was their closer's name, Kim?
Young-Hyun Kim.
Yeah, who blew
right
two or three.
Yeah, he's the guy who gave up homers to, I believe, Tino Martinez and Scooter Brosius on consecutive nights.
Yeah, right. But they had Johnson and Schilling to bail them out in 6 and 7. So, you know, I don't think that they were looking for research that would have, you know, made their point that these types of games are tough to overcome. It's just that's exactly what it is. They are tough to overcome. You look at history, and it's rare. It's rare that you have it right there. You're reaching out. I mean, it's you can taste it almost. Everyone was holding hands in that bar. It was like a church service almost last night. It was there for the taking, and then it's gone. And to come back and recover from that, it's very difficult.
And, of course, the common bit of data that got out there last week or last night in the immediate aftermath of the game is dawning enough as is, that being that the last eight teams to play Game 7 at home have all won.
Oh, God, I didn't even see that.
Yeah, you have to go back to the 1979 Pirates, who won on the road in Baltimore in Game 7. That was the last time a road team has won a Game 7. That's dawning enough right there. But add in all this other stuff, and you know what? I still believe the Rangers are going to do it.
I've never seen so much data support one team.
Yes.
And then you look at the ump tonight. Have you seen this?
No.
What's the ump's name? Help me out here, America, back there.
Is it a J name?
Yeah, I can't remember his name. Anyway.
Jerry Lane?
Yes, Jerry Lane.
Oh, okay.
8-1. The Cardinals are 8-1 with Jerry Lane with a 2 ERA. The Rangers are 1-6 this year with Jerry Lane,
God,
with a 5-6 or something like that.
Man.
I'm telling you, if the Rangers win tonight, it's so much I think we'll respect this team so much more even if they would have won last night with the Josh home run. Let's say the Josh home run would have ended it.
Mm-hmm.
If they can win this game tonight with all this evidence that's stacked against them, I'm going to respect them more. And you know what? I'm going to cry like a little baby tonight if they win this game.
That is just a mountain of stuff going against them. But it's all data. It's all numbers.
And it has happened. I mean, you know, like with Grantland here, they say only the 2001 Diamondbacks or the 75 Reds. So it's there.
It's not a place you want to be, but it has happened.
Yes, it's there. And they can look right across at that team in front of them. Who a lot of those guys were on that 06 team.
Yes.
You know, who ended up being able to come back, too. So I don't know. I'm sports bum, though. I got to tell you, I'm in a real bad spot.
I'm sports bummed, too. But I still like what I saw out of this team so much that I cling to the belief that it's going to happen tonight.
I hope you're right.
I hope I am, too. All right, 4:53 here on the ticket.
Forget the three-hour tour. Take a three-hour lunch each workday with Bad Radio from noon till 3. Bob, Dan, and Donnie, only on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
All right, in just a little bit, I'm going to be stopping down for a little entertainment news. And then after that, we will get Sean Bass and David Newberry on the scene and get the Rangers pregame show for Game 7 up and running.
Game 7.
Game 7.
We've never seen it in any form here.
No, we have not. Not with a championship on the line. Now with division series or this or that on the line, sure. Seen a lot of those. But Game 7 where it is all out there for the taking, no. We have never been here.
I've always wanted to be a part of a Game 7, just not in this fashion, you know, not after last night. But isn't it something that when you see it on television that there's so much allure, no matter what sport, hockey, basketball, baseball, there's so much energy to it and so much, even if you don't have a dog in the hunt,
yeah,
you're tense.
You've got to love it.
Yeah, it's just an unbelievable sporting event. It's really what, you know, I almost wish that
the essence of sports,
yeah,
right there.
And I can't stand the Super Bowl. I got to be honest with you. I can't stand it. It just doesn't move the needle for me anymore unless the Cowboys are playing in it. I love the NFL playoffs. I mean, it's like my children. But once the Super Bowl rolls around, I'm about done.
That's because the game's been so marginalized.
Yeah, yeah.
With everything
it's
else.
It's cheapened. It's just, it's awful. But if they had like a best 3 of 5 football game, Super Bowl, can you imagine that? Like based over the course of a week and a half where you played every 3 days or something like that? I mean, that last game would just be unbelievable. But then that's why this is so cool. Because you're so invested in it as a fan for so long. You know, we've been going at this now for 10 days. Or, hell, with the rainouts, longer.
No, let's see, it started last week, at the start of last week. So, yeah, almost 2 weeks.
Interested in any tweet updates from some of our Ranger luminaries out there?
Well, I saw one that I found rather interesting.
What you got?
And that is that the Rangers, during warm-ups, were playing keep away from Nelson Cruz with his glove.
And he is stretching.
Yes.
Let's see. A couple of things from Evan Grant. I guess there was a Washington press conference interview earlier. Said it's more likely on the bad read that Cruz, that it looked like Cruz got on the freeze triple. Mm-hmm. Said it was a bad read rather than a groin issue. C.J. Wilson is expected to be the first option out of the bullpen tonight. And Holland, according to Wash, is available. Evan, speaking to the vibe of the team, he said, "I can't describe the Rangers' vibe. Impossible to get inside their heads, but quite sure this team will be prepared as they always are." Washington said he would address team before batting practice, but it won't be a rah-rah, just reminding his team that this is what they play for. Look, the Rangers put themselves in a position to absorb losing Game 6. They were that good to go up 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are.
All right. Are they that mentally strong, though, to overcome the loss?
Overcome losing Game 6 like that?
Yes, the way that they lost. Just don't.
Like Mike says, I don't think they care about the way.
I hope not. I really, really hope not. I can't imagine.
This will be the biggest test ever, that theory.
Ever.
Evan says, if Ron Washington is as good in the clubhouse as he is with the media today, the Rangers are in good, no great shape. Brilliant, clear, and funny.
You know, but imagine, and I got a text from a buddy of mine who's staying at the team hotel, and he had the unfortunate displeasure of riding up the elevator with Josh Hamilton last night after the game. And his text to me was like, poor kid. Poor kid. And you wonder, when those guys went to sleep last night, when they got, you know, when they were by themselves in their rooms last night, once they hit the, you know, just lay down in the bed, if they were like, mother Tucker.
Blank.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they were. I'm sure they were very, very disappointed, and a lot of those guys probably had a pretty tough night last night, but
notwithstanding the injuries they were having to sleep with. The pain that those guys were in.
But I still think that there is a process that they go through for all this stuff. They know how to process this stuff. And they know what to do with it, you know, in due time. And I think due time will roll around for them. It probably already has. It'll roll around long before tonight, where they just know, okay, that's over. Let's put it behind us and go play tonight.
You know, and rather than, if I'm the Rangers, if I'm Wash, rather than looking at last night from the perspective of what a colossal meltdown. I look at that from the perspective of, yeah, our closer blew a save. Closers do that, but man, what a ballsy, gutty grind out for them to even come back and take leads. And when you're talking about, like, Nelly Cruz hitting a home run, Mike Napoli out there hobbling around on that screwed up ankle,
yeah,
and Josh just harnessing every amount of power that he could possibly get to muscle that thing out to center field to put them back on top. I feel really bad for the hurt guys that are going far and beyond their, you know, seeming capability, considering their injuries, to continue to fight and scratch when, yeah, the bullpen just didn't have it, man.
Yeah,
they just didn't have it.
They couldn't find anybody who could come in there and get people out.
Nope.
That happens over the course of a game.
They showed guts last night, a ton. No matter how disappointed you are, that was a gutty performance by a Ranger team.
No doubt it was. And, you know, on the flip side, you simply tip your cap to the Cardinals, which we haven't done today, because you want guts.
Yeah, they showed it too.
No, they went above and beyond. I mean, come on. Let's be honest here. That's the guttiest performance I think I've ever seen.
Well, they kept coming back, man. They didn't give up. They kept coming back.
To have the wherewithal to stand there with two strikes against one of the best closers in the league and hit the ball the way David Freese did.
Yeah.
And a hometown guy, a guy from St. Louis, who just continues this magic ride, you know, after batting 560 in the NLCS. I mean,
yeah, this is a young player, too. This is a guy not too many people were paying attention to as the Cardinals were starting their postseason run. But, boy, he has emerged.
That's a funny thing I was just thinking about, is that if you're writing the book on the 2011 World Series champion, you can pick a team and have an equal amount of great stuff to fill a book with, no matter who wins tonight.
Yeah, there's a lot out there. There's a hell of a lot out there.
I'm getting excited.
You starting to feel it,
yeah,
Holmes?
Yeah.
See?
I'm shaking.
I knew you'd come around.
Yeah, it's just like a hangover, you know? Drink enough water, have some pizza.
Yeah.
A little vitamin B12.
That's right.
Good to go.
All right, I'm going to be... I have not been this way for a long time concerning this team, but I am. I'm the guy. I'm the guy on this show that is not feeling it. And I'm not going to feel it until there's like a 5-run lead on the board. I'm just not. I'm programmed differently, I get.
All right, entertainment news is on the way.
Let's get into the ratings from last night, the television ratings. I think you guys are going to be shocked when I tell you these numbers.
This hour of the Hardline brought to you by Driver Select.
Turn off the TV and turn on the ticket tonight after Rangers Cardinals for our award-winning postseason edition of Diamond Talk featuring the Ticket Team. Brought to you by Jay Gilligan's, Centennial Big Daddy's Majestic, and live only on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
All right, 518. Yeah, how about that? Just for you. I know you love them.
So many hits, Mike. So many hits.
Not really.
Yeah, tons.
This is one. All right. Before we get into the pregame show, we must stop down for a little bit of... And this is brought to you by...
Autoflex and All-Pro Foundation Repair.
So, let's have we get a little flashlight going here. Step inside the Copenhagen room and let's say hello to Dallas Radio's most abrasive, poised, over-the-top personality.
Yes.
There's Cobra.
Here he is, the Cobra. Here's
not
Cobra.
Not great on the top today.
Not at all.
I love Lou Dickey.
Well, good, because he's in town.
Well, who do I love? I love Lou Dickey.
What a kiss up.
Yeah, I love you, Lou, if you're listening. Man, last night, the World Series kicked ass. Not only the game, well, again, let's just look at it from a Pirates fan perspective. That was a kick-ass baseball game.
I was watching Steinfeld last night.
We know you were, Coach.
Steinfeld.
Let's go hour by hour in the World Series. Mindful of the fact that about 12 to 13 million people have been watching it here over the past five games.
Mm-hmm.
First hour, 17.5 million. Second hour, 21.5 million. Third hour, 21 million. Fourth hour, 20 million. So,
that's pretty kick-ass.
Dude, huge numbers. And I bet you tonight, it's even bigger. Because Friday night, it's not like you put your landmark Hallmark TV shows on Friday night.
I don't know about that. Boss is on.
Yeah, and it sucks.
You didn't like it?
Awful.
No, he didn't like Boss.
Awful?
It's a joke.
God.
I'm telling you, it's terrible.
I was not that keen on it either, I must say. I'm going to give it another shot, though, because I'm the king of giving stuff a chance.
Man, all these kick-ass reviews. Yeah.
I never take an opinion on anything. I say, let's just give it a chance, okay?
Smart. So in the first hour, it beat CBS's Rules of Engagement and the Big Bang Theory, Emmy-winning Big Bang Theory.
Genius job.
In the second hour, if you can believe this, Michael, 21.5 million people watching. In second place was CBS's Person of Interest.
Mm-hmm.
On ABC... That was 11 million, by the way. On ABC, Grey's Anatomy, 9.8 million. The Office, 5 million. And then...
The Office is on ABC?
NBC, sorry. Oh. And then in the third hour, with 21 million people tuned into the baseball, finishing second, The Mentalist, with 12 million.
The Mentalist.
I know that killed you to miss that.
Well, you did see me sneak out of there for an hour, didn't you?
So that's where you were.
I was slingboxing The Mentalist.
Well, let's be clear about this.
For you.
I gotta sneak out of here for a second, if you guys don't mind.
Yeah, I'm slingboxing The Mentalist.
Can you imagine how I would have been called out as a human being and a sportsman?
You would have probably gotten beaten up.
If someone would have walked up to my car, and there I am with my pants down and The Mentalist on... with my computer.
Well, I know you love that show. You're a big fan of The Mentalist.
So I think tonight is going to be really kick-ass. We got the Game 7. You have the backdrop of last night being the greatest game in the history of the sport, as we're learning from baseball tonight.
This could be the bigger than the MASH finale.
Groobs is right. We could get $135 million to beat MASH.
You just watch.
Yeah.
Speaking of ratings.
Yeah.
Beavis and Butthead re-premiered last night.
I heard it was good.
The comedy did very, very well over on the MTV. In their target demo of kids 4 to 8. No, I'm sorry. I believe they shoot for the 12 to 40 crowd. The ratings were only behind the Jersey Shore, which we all know is their runaway hit. Beavis pulled in almost 4 million viewers, which is about what, you know, a Breaking Bad or a Mad Men season finale will get you.
Mm-hmm.
So MTV is very excited about the new Beavis and Butthead. Danny, did you go home and watch it?
No, I went to bed.
You know, that's what I should have done, because I was in such a bad way.
It would have only made things worse.
I should have gone home and tried to laugh a little. And
well,
I guarantee,
it's great to be able to laugh a little.
I guarantee I would have laughed a lot.
Isn't it fun to be able to laugh a little bit?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think you would have. I think you'd have been very disappointed in it. Because you're trying to recapture your lost youth.
Really wasn't my youth, though. I mean, I was like 25 or something. I really wasn't... I mean, the...
Oh, that's
the,
youth. Trust me, that is youth.
The sweet bird of youth was around me. But...
Oh, the sweet bird was squarely on your shoulder.
Oh, he was?
Yes, he was.
That's when Corby was doing the overnight board-off shift at the Ticket.
Right.
Bringing ladies up.
Totally.
Eating pounds and pounds of Taco Bell.
every Friday and Saturday night.
Getting fat and growing a beard.
Four tacos, two burritos, and like a liter of Coke.
And how many girls did you get on the board?
Why don't we just let this myth, you know, get bigger and bigger?
I hate that I'm touching the board right now.
I know, it's so gross.
Gross.
Did you get the oil Baroness on it?
Yeah.
I might have.
God. Look at him over here laughing about this.
Look, she wanted to come up there.
How about the stalker?
What am I supposed to do?
Get the stalker on there?
Yeah.
No, the stalker was a stalker. I didn't invite her up anywhere.
Yeah, but I mean, you took advantage of it at least, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
God, come on.
I guarantee you brought that one up here because that board hadn't smelled the same in 15 years.
It's like Elaine's hair, or was it, whose car was it? They couldn't get the smell out of. Was it Elaine's or Jerry's? Or it just stunk no matter what because of the BO of the guy who washed it?
Here's more Steinfeld talk.
Yeah, I wonder if Wash watched that Steinfeld.
I watched Steinfeld tonight. Turn off the sweet bird of youth.
I was like, what am I listening to?
It's the sweet bird of youth.
Just helping to bring back the memories.
Who sang that?
Nat King Cole.
Oh.
The great Nat King Cole.
You know what? I look back, though, and I want to say that those are really good times. You know, eating my Taco Bell and my liter of Coke and bringing the oil Baroness up and all that.
But I like tacos.
Was it that?
But what?
Was it that great?
Yes.
It was?
Yes. It was. Believe me, it was.
I don't know, man.
The Rangers suck. You didn't have any expectations of them. It was a better time.
You know what?
You had no angst over game sevens.
Crap I went through last night. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, all you cared about was OU football.
They sucked.
The Cowboys.
You know what? That was actually a really good sports time.
Because you didn't have to worry about it, really.
My Saturdays, you know, I'm like, I just expected OU to lose. And, you know, Cowboys, that was mattering quite a bit back then. But, you know, the Mavericks were just...
awful.
Terrible. I guarantee I was one of the few people on the planet watching that game. And what year was it when they finally, when they won 13?
2001?
No. 92, 3?
Oh. Yeah, something like that.
I'm sitting there staring at the TV, hoping and praying that they can win one more game to avoid that futile mark. But I was watching. Mm-hmm. I was there. This is a really weird story. Conan O'Brien, who is doing terrible over on TBS. Let me repeat that. Terrible.
What do you mean terrible? Nobody's watching or he's not funny?
No.
Nobody's watching.
Nobody's watching. Nobody. Like the Family Guy reruns from 8 years ago get better numbers than he does on the same station.
You know, they're going to have to figure out that that's really about all those channels are good for.
Reruns?
Reruns, and occasionally, you know, they'll bubble up with men of a certain age or something like that that's, you know.
Yeah, like TNT and TBS do okay with, like, the Kira Sedgwick, the closer.
Yeah, but when it comes to trying to get into the late-night comedy game, that's futile.
Yeah, I know. His ratings are less than half of what Letterman, Jon Stewart, and Jay Leno get. Jon Stewart's about to
do an hour-long comedy show late night on the ticket and draw more than him, I'll bet.
Jon Stewart's about to pass everybody. Everybody.
I don't want to hear that.
Dude, it's funny.
Why?
Because.
He's good.
He's very good. Whatever, man. You don't get it.
Yeah.
So, Conan O'Brien, with his slumping ratings, though, he is doing something that I hate in this business that we live in today, sports.
Stunning?
Stunting. To celebrate the one-year anniversary of the Conan O'Brien show, they're going to take their show on the road to the Beacon Theater in New York City. They do their show in California now.
Yes.
It is there that Conan O'Brien... see if this rings familiar as far as something that happened on the ticket. Conan O'Brien at the Beacon Theater will officiate the wedding between one of his longtime staffers and his boyfriend. He's doing a gay marriage on TV.
Super gay.
Awesome.
Seriously, man. He's stunting.
You know, of all the things I am less interested in, if I were to list them according to the amount of disinterest I have, it wouldn't take long at all to get to that.
To gay marriage?
Yeah.
Or marriage in general?
Yeah.
I mean, what if I said this is a straight marriage? Who cares? I don't care either way.
No, I don't. No.
Now, it does say that they're going to drive from California to New York, and Matt the P1 Virgin will be at the wheel.
Awesome.
As I make a 10-year-old joke. Maybe 12. I don't even know when that actually happened.
You're the one that always rips Ty for making those references.
Yeah,
and here
I know,
you go.
But mine are funny.
Oh, okay.
It's all right, Ty.
What's all right?
It's our two.
I don't even know what you're saying right now.
And Justin Bieber's manager, a guy named Scooter Braun, who probably was worth 8 cents before he hooked on with Scooter. Justin Bieber, now says this. I don't really want to draw any comparisons, but there was this little band during the, quote, British invasion that had girls screaming at them. I think you know who I'm talking about. Justin is a lot like...
The zombies?
Justin is a lot like the Beatles. Justin is a lot like the Beatles. You think Justin...
Sure they are.
You think Justin will have the same impact that the Beatles did on culture?
He will be forgotten in a year.
God, I hope so. That little doucher.
He'll be too old.
That's the thing.
You got to stay young. You really got to have the sweet bird of youth on your side.
Is that the Beatles did the impossible. They started out, they captured a young audience, and within a couple of years, their audience aged 12, 15 years. I'd like to get into that with you, because that was a weird phenomenon.
Okay.
I mean, really strange how they escaped the screaming girl thing and
right.
suddenly were the most respected band in the world.
A lot of things changed in that time.
I know. All right, we're done.
All right, we are done. And up next, stand by for the appearance of Sean Bass, David Newberry, and everyone else as we get the Rangers pregame show up and running.
Rangers Cardinals World Series. And we're talking about it right up into the first pitch. This is our World Series pregame show. Brought to you by Jay Gilligan's Centennial Big Daddy's Majestic and live exclusively on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
And here we are again. It's 5:40 on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket, and this is the World Series pregame show. Game 7 between the Texas Rangers and St. Louis Cardinals tonight at Busch Stadium as the two clubs play for all the marbles. The final day of the 2011 baseball season, and your Texas Rangers are playing in that game. Good afternoon, evening, P1. Sean Bass, David Newberry here in studio. We are joined by the baseball show of record in DFW. That would be the Hardline, Mike and Corby, who are out on remote. Boys, do you have us?
Do we ever.
Now, I spoke to both of you last night as you joined us on Diamond Talk after that horrific night, that heartbreaking Game 6, and I think we're
all... Yes, the worst night of my sports life.
Right, right. We're all down in the dumps, and how much has the mood changed, if at all, since then?
I'm starting to feel it again.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm starting to.
You rallying?
Yeah, I'm coming back.
I'm not. Not quite. It may get there by the time first pitch rolls around, but I'm still stuck in.
I'm having to drag him along
in 9th, 10th, and 11th inning mode of just what is happening. Why are you ripping my heart out? I'll be honest with you. I didn't want to talk to you two sons of bitches again. I thought that this pregame stuff was going to be done.
We did too, my
right?
friend. We did too.
Right?
Yeah, we didn't want you calling in.
Yeah, of course. Unless I was much drunker.
Right. I suppose much you're going to want right. us like, to again
like
tonight,
Danny drunk.
Huh?
Yes, we need booty calls, not sad calls.
Yeah, not therapeutic calls. Yeah.
You know what? I felt like last night in calling that's what that was. It was some sort of like I was lying down on a couch.
Can we talk about this?
Yes. Yeah. I didn't know what to do. Like,
no one knows how I feel.
I mean, I didn't want to go out. I didn't want to see anybody, actually.
This clearly stems from your father and his thermos of Coors.
Yes.
And no underwear at Six Flags.
Obviously.
And the Ding Dong Cabin.
But I knew that I had to talk to somebody, you know? I had to vent a little bit. God, it sucked.
Yeah, and imagine doing 5 hours of tickers today, having to lead with it all the time and watch MLB Network and just be inundated with it. But you know what? That, too, sort of helps you kind of power through it a little bit. You just go information overload, and all you can do is look forward because you eventually become numb to all the grisly details, you know?
So where are you guys at with your heads right now?
I am incredibly optimistic. I think I'm going to be the cheerleader for Game 7 and why I think the Rangers are going to win.
Are you incredibly optimistic because you're a fan, or are you incredibly optimistic because you have, like, somewhere in your head you're like, man, I really, really think they're going to win? That's what I can't figure out from anybody that I've talked to today. Is this fandom, or is this reality?
For me, it's reality, and I really had a hard time getting to this point, but when I realized that we have Harrison in the combination of Mike Napoli behind the plate and what that means for Matt Harrison and how great of a pitcher those two have been together, I put my faith in Napoli, and they brought us this far. And I also believe that when you look at all the heartbreaking losses that this team's had, not just this year but going back to last year, down 2-0 to Tampa Bay in the ALDS, you know, facing a Game 5 after they almost blew that away, and, you know, finding a way to win them, choking away Game 1 of the ALCS against the Yankees, coming back to win that series. I think the Rangers are going to have a chance to show the country tonight just how special they are as a group and how resilient they are and why they haven't lost two games in a row since, since the middle of August. And, you know, last I heard is that the Rangers are playing keep away with Nelson Cruz's glove right now. You know, they're just a relaxed group, and they have a chance. They're one game away from winning the World Series.
And as bad as last night completely sucked, and it's something that even if we win tonight, we still might not completely get over because it was very heart-wrenching.
Oh, I will.
I equated this to Corby on the phone earlier. If they do win tonight, the Rangers, mm-hmm. it's kind of like when your kid turns up missing, but then you find your kid and realize he was just hiding from you, and you're happy that he's alive, but you want to kill him at the same time.
Yeah.
That's what that'll feel like.
See, I think I'll feel the same way about last night that I do about last Saturday, where, you know, Saturday we saw the greatest single game offensive output ever with Pujols, mm-hmm. and within the same series you're going to see, even though you lost the game, the greatest comeback and the greatest game in the history of the series. I think if the Rangers win this game, I'm going to feel blessed. I'm going to be like, man,
sure.
Seriously, I'm going to be like, it's a lot easier to look back at it if you won the series. Now, if they lose, like I was saying earlier, that moment in time will define this team forever, unless they win a World Series. That is their moment.
Yeah. See, that's the thing that really bugged me when I woke up this morning, because we talked about it a ton last night and broke it down every way we could. And, you know, you sleep on it and you digest it and you wake up in the morning. And the thing that really irked me is if last night's meltdown and being a strike away twice, you know, haunts this thing tonight and they lose. We were talking about, I don't know, a couple games ago about how set up this franchise is for not just the here and now, but for years to come. I wonder what this loss does to affect everything moving forward. Maybe nothing. You hope the infrastructure is good enough to where you can still be successful, but you just wonder what a loss tonight would do to this whole thing moving forward and how it's viewed and the perception
of
it all.
I think they're going to be a really good team for a while. But getting back to this point, we know how difficult that is.
Mm-hmm.
And winning it, we obviously now know how difficult that is. Let's just say it doesn't happen. Let's say that they kind of have a Braves run of the 90s. And, you know, the Braves got theirs. Well, let's just say they have a Braves run, but they don't quite get there. This will define them. And it's as unfair as it is, it's the reality.
Well, it's just like the Mavericks. We were hoping they weren't going to be the Utah Jazz.
Right,
they finally
of course.
Got over the hump.
Or the Buffalo Bills.
Ugh.
Yeah. And you know, a 45-minute stretch of baseball could define these guys' lives forever. And that sucks. And that is why
that's what they're playing for tonight.
Exactly. They're playing for
redemption.
Yeah. They're playing to get their lives back.
Yeah.
As crazy as it may sound.
It is so great and so awesome that they do have this shot at it. You know, nobody wanted to see it get here, but It did, and it got here in nut-cracking manner. And it's just great now that it's there for him.
You know what my friend told me? I forgot about this. Earlier today, we were talking about just how awful it was, and I was really down in the dumps. And,
You're really tired.
And he was. Yeah, and I was. I was really tired. And he was, too. He's so down, and he was like, you know what this is like? He goes, just imagine, you know, on Saturday night when your kid gets all dressed up, and he's like, and my kid's going to go as Winnie the Pooh, and we're walking around, he just looks adorable, and then somebody comes up and cuts his head off.
God!
He goes, that's what that loss was like.
That's a good analogy.
Wow. That's terrible.
I know.
Cuts his head off.
Dying laughing.
Who the hell came up with that?
Jeez. Netterton? Fiegelman?
Yeah, let's blame it on Netterton.
Jay the Midget.
God.
Take the break.
Well, with that in mind, let's second guess Wash next on the ticket.
It's the Hardline. Seabass and the rest of the ticket team talking about the talking sport, baseball, on our World Series pregame show. Brought to you by Jay Gilligan's Centennial Big Daddy's Majestic and live exclusively on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
It's 5 minutes till 6 o'clock on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. Game 7 of the World Series is 1 hour and 10 minutes away at Busch Stadium, as the Rangers and Cardinals play for the World Championship. Your Rangers going for their first, the Cardinals going for their 11th in their storied history. Sean Bass and David Newberry here in studio, the Hardline on remote. And gentlemen, we teased it, and this has been kicked around a lot today at the station, but Ron Washington's really taking it in the shorts, because you could just throw a dart and pick any inning, and there's probably something you could second guess from the skipper last night.
It was a very strangely managed game by him, to say the least.
Not just him, but also Tony, because I thought Tony didn't necessarily manage that game very well, using up his whole bench, you know, really didn't think ahead about extra innings. He burned Edwin Jackson there late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he's getting off the hook a little bit, because his club rallied a couple times and eventually won.
And of course, he is the great TLR, too.
Right.
And not too many people will take on the great TLR in the game of baseball, but yeah, you're right. It was very oddly managed by both, and it's kind of hard still, after watching baseball as long as I have, for me to understand exactly what it is that will flip the switch of managers like that, where one will do something, the other will counter, and the next thing you know, it's like we have a whole subplot going on of those two against each other.
See, I almost wish that, you know, when Tony starts to really go nuts and is really pulling the strings, and he and his coaches are just wheeling and dealing over there, that Ron would go take a bathroom break and then come back about 4 minutes later.
He did leave in the middle of the night to go have a smoke. I know that for a fact.
You know what? I would have, too.
He did?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you have?
Yep.
Damn.
When you saw him disappear into the... Did you see the one shot of him going into the tunnel?
No.
That was to go smokes with cigarettes.
But I almost do. I just wish that he would just hold steady. Just sit there and hold steady. And I know you can't, theoretically, but it'd just be nice not to overreact.
Well, yeah, you can, too. People up there, you know, Cardinal people tell you that the best way to fight that, if you're managing against the Cardinals, is to just don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't try to out TLR, yet nobody seems to be able to resist that temptation.
Did you like the fake out of pinch hitting for, I guess it was for Colby?
You're talking about the fifth inning? Yeah. That's when things really started to get a little.
Well, I didn't have a problem with that, because it looked like he was fake pinch hitting so Murphy could see some better pitches.
See,
and Murphy ended up walking anyway.
Yeah, but the
and he trusted Colby to go and to go in there, and regardless of, it was more important for him to have his pitcher on the mound than to put up an RBI threat.
I thought so.
But you have to know, in that situation, you're putting Murphy in the game, and over Gentry, that they know the pitcher spots up next, and it's a righty-lefty matchup. And he had Torrey Alba, a right-handed batter, on the on-deck circle. So he's not, you know, they're going to pitch around Murphy to get to the next batter anyway. So he went halfway with the move. He didn't go all in. He didn't commit to the move. If you're going to pull Gentry out, then you have to go the whole nine yards with it and go ahead and capitalize and get something out of that, instead of he just burned Gentry and gets Murphy in the game, and now we have You know, our first, well, that was the first questionable decision of the game because the Rangers had a chance to blow it open.
But at that point, Colby had thrown 62 pitches. He only gave up two hits and both came back in the first inning. Mm-hmm. He was in a good way, and I don't think Walsh really wanted to go to his bullpen yet. So I don't have a huge issue with the move because Colby still went out there in the fifth inning and shut things down. And
yeah,
if Michael,
I don't know. I don't
if
know
Michael
if I
Young
have a,
doesn't make an error in the sixth, who knows?
He had a nine-pitch inning in the bottom of the fifth. Yeah.
I don't know if I have a huge issue with the move. It was just strange, you know?
It was very strange. It was very strange.
Well, he tried to deke Torrealba out there. Why don't you just put Moreland out there who's a left-handed bat?
If you wanted Murphy to see pitches, put Moreland, the lefty, on deck. And make them pick their poison there.
Let me ask you guys this. So in a case like that, and you're going over about four different scenarios that could have happened, that should have happened maybe, but at the same time, a guy like Walsh and a guy like Maddox and you know, I guess the entire bench, all these coaches are sitting there trying to figure out what to do.
Jackie Moore.
Yeah, Jackie Moore. And it all lands at the feet of Walsh. I know that. But are they
They're communicating.
Are they thoroughly confused in there?
I don't think
Corby,
they are.
I truly think that the Rangers are thinking one move at a time, and La Russa was three moves ahead. And he could see how this game, hey, I'm going to make this move, and I know exactly how they react. And no matter how the Rangers react, I have a plan to go. And it seemed that when the Rangers had to make two moves, that's when they were caught with their pants down.
Look, to the people that want to rip Walsh, the bottom line is he handed the ball to his closer with a two-run lead
in the ninth inning.
And that negates anything that he did. I mean, to think that, oh, I'm sorry they didn't have a 12-run lead.
Yeah, but
because maybe if he had a pinch hit here and made this move. That's exactly what you want.
I think we had about six moves last night that were questioned, but I think it really comes down to two. And my first big move, and Corby, we talked about it with you last night in the eighth inning with Derek Holland.
Yeah.
And I have no problem with Holland starting that inning because of Berkman's weaker side being his right-handed side. And 28 home runs that he's hit this year came from the left. I had a problem with, after he gets Berkman, not going to Adams right there with the three-run lead and saying, you are going to control this game for the rest of it. He just continued to allow Holland to face it. Then Craig gets a home run. Then Molina, you know, gets the single. And now Adams has to come on and get the guy with the tying run at the plate. And I just thought that was kind of getting cute with the situation.
Yeah, because if Adams does his job there against those right-handed bats, you don't see the middle of the St. Louis lineup in the ninth with Nefty's out there. And you could probably have, I'm not saying this is a certainty, but you could probably have a three-run lead instead of two.
Is it not justifiable, though, at all, after he gets Berkman, who had the only two hits off him, you know, in Game 4, to think that he so schooled these guys that were coming up to the plate, including Craig, for 8 1/3 the other night, that, you know, is it that unfathomable to think that he can't do it for three more batters?
Now you're getting into, this is the fifth plate appearance they've seen Derek Holland.
Well, the more you see somebody, the more comfortable you get.
And Adams has thrown like 20-some pitches in this series.
And I know that's technically his job, but that's the confusing part of when you get into Game 6 and Game 7 of a World Series, and suddenly your starters are relievers. And then it becomes, who do you trust more? And I know that Adams is the guy that technically you paid the money to do that job. But at the same time, here's a guy that you just saw. And I know it's not his job, but you saw him mow down anybody and everybody with ease, making them look foolish.
But how do you not trust Adams more after the body of work you've seen just since he's come over on the trade?
All right, but 30-2 when leading after seven.
Put yourself in that situation where I think at least if I'm the manager and it is confusing. I really do think it is, and I've heard both sides of this today. I think you get thoroughly confused, and you can outsmart yourself.
Yes.
And you can say, all right, well, this guy I just saw two nights ago or three nights ago, kill everybody that he's getting ready to face. Kill him. And then Adams is, he's my guy, but he hadn't been perfect, and this guy was perfect the other night, essentially.
Okay.
And I can see where that battle could go on.
Okay.
Yeah,
but
I can see where it could go on, too, but at that point in the game, man, I'm sorry. I got to go lefty righty a little bit here.
But that's what's confusing about Walsh. He is so stubborn about going lefty righty with someone like David Murphy and Gentry, but then he goes completely in the other direction.
Yeah, with his pitchers, he goes another way.
It's unbelievable. And I think that what made that move even worse was, okay, Craig just hit a home run off of you. Now you have a string of righties coming up. Why not, after he hits a home run, why not then, two runs down, let Adams face, you know, go in at that situation? And it didn't really, you know, hurt them then. But what happened was, is You allowed that inning to go on a little bit longer, and you invited Albert Pujols to have one more bat and Lance Berkman to have one more at bat because you got cute with that inning.
Yeah, that cost you, and, you know, some people will tell you the Craig home run didn't mean anything. Man, in that game, every run meant everything.
Yes, oh, every run.
Yes.
I mean, that home, yeah, they were down back then, but that made the game winnable for them. That got things turned around.
Because all you need is a bloop and
a
blast.
That put them back on the road to winning the game.
Just maddening. And then the Nefty decision to not put him back out in the 10th. I mean, if Wash says his body language was
I didn't hate that. I did not hate that.
I didn't completely hate it at the time because I have a weird confidence in Darren Oliver, and I thought there was some sort of full circle thing going on with him out on the mound possibly to win the World Series, considering he, you know, played for that 96 team. I thought that was kind of neat. But, you know, after that Josh Hamilton home run, which, let's be honest, that was the thing of legend. That was mythical,
yes,
almost.
Yes.
That was Roy Hobbs. And even if Nefty, who just probably is feeling down, he just gave up that lead, if that doesn't bring you up and get your ass pumped up to go back out on the mound for the 10th inning, I don't know what does.
Well, how about him first at 8-9-1. I mean, three guys that had combined one home run of the season.
It's 8-9-1. It's 8-9 pitcher. Yeah.
Yeah, and that I think that you got to go with your horse there,
yeah,
and get him back on the mound.
I agree there. I think that was a mistake. But
man, I am not digging Neftali in this series.
And then Cruz's positioning.
He has been okay on results, but I think he's gotten a little bit lucky a few times, and he has been very, very short on command. He has been very wild.
God, how bad is Ogando, speaking of command?
Worse than Neffy.
Well, yeah, worse than Neffy.
I mean, I cannot believe what's happened to that guy.
Is there a situation you pitch him tonight in?
No, absolutely.
Not at all?
And, I mean,
I think you've got to pick your spot. But
only if something really crazy happens, like the game drags into the 14th inning or something.
Yeah, if you go 12, 13, 14, you're going to have to put him in there eventually, but in a regular game, there is no way that guy should see the field.
Speaking of Wash's stubbornness, is everyone, I thought the book on Ogando, even coming out of the bullpen last year, was don't bring him in with men on base. And every single game this series, game one, Craig got the pinch hit. Game two, he got the same thing. You know, every time he's brought Ogando in these incredibly high leverage situations, and it's burned him every single time.
It goes back to last year, too.
That's another one that you're going, why here? You know, to me, if he was going to bring in anyone in that situation, that's where I would have gone with Feldman.
Maddening. Just maddening stuff.
Maddening indeed.
All right, let's do this. It's 6:06 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. We'll get to Matt Harrison and the Bullpenis in a bit, but up next, we will set the scene from Bush with one Craig Junes Jr. Miller.
This hour of the Hardline brought to you by Driver Select.
That's the way baseball go, and the way we go. It's a special World Series pregame show taking you right up to the first pitch of Rangers Cardinals. Brought to you by Jay Gilligan's Centennial Big Daddy's Majestic, and live exclusively on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket, World Series pregame. Sean Bass and David Newberry. We have the Hard Line out on remote. And boy, we are less than an hour away from Game 7 of the Fall Classic, a winner take all between the Cardinals and their ace Chris Carpenter on short rest. And you have Matty Harrison, the lefty, going for Texas tonight, and easily the biggest game of his career. And
I don't know. I don't know. I think maybe an A's game back in August was a little more important.
Maybe a Triple A game coming up was a little more crucial to his career. I don't know. But boy, it's hard to get your head around just what happened last night, and then here we are, less than 24 hours later, getting ready for the biggest game in franchise history.
These games come quick, man.
Yes, they do. Yes.
So how are we feeling about this? Because, you know, to be honest with you, at 6:17, this is the first I've really thought of tonight. I'm so consumed with last night, and that's my own fault. But how are we feeling about this whole thing with Carp on 3 days rest, or just facing him in general in a Game 7 at home? Harrison, who, it's not that I don't trust him, but he's not.
No, he's your guy by default.
Right.
I mean, there are no other options for that.
But don't you kind of like Wash getting him ready by saying, I'm going with him come hell or high water if there's a Game 7, just so there's no surprises here with Matt Harrison? And that whether he's the right guy or not, at least Wash, what are the options? I mean, CJ?
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I mean, they're going. I mean, he faced Carpenter on short rest, and that's.
I realize that, but I mean, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know.
He could have saved the Dutch oven for that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I think Matt Harrison is the right option. I've been championing the guy for a long time this year because he's been their most one of their most consistent starters. And when he's right, he has hellacious. I mean, most left-handed pitchers, aren't that big, first of all, and lefties don't typically throw 95. So if he's on, he can shut down in a lineup at least two and a half, three times through an order, and you would feel good about that.
Even after Holland's 8-inning knockout game the other day, I would have more faith in Harrison going tonight.
Well, boys, I've got special news for you, because right now on our hotline, we are joined by Junes, Craig Miller, one half of the Courage Boys in the Morning, live from St. Louis. Craig, do you have us?
Yes, I do, and thank you for endorsing the new nickname.
Yeah, I like Junes. With a Z, correct?
Well, it's quite a scene up here. The place is going nuts. It seems like, there'll be, 48,000, 49,000 inside the stadium. Seems there are another 48,000, 49,000 outside the stadium that aren't going to get to see the game in person, but they're just going to be a part of it. Traffic's way worse than it was last night. Crowds are way bigger than last night. Pretty awesome setting.
Yeah. Sounds like a race war about to break out.
I don't know about that, Mike. I'll look into that. I guess it's a possibility.
You know, that's what I fear, Craig. This is Corby Davidson from Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket, first off.
Corby Davidson, The Ticket.
Yeah, thank you. But I fear that because last night when we had George on and we had so many people telling us that the Ranger presence was unbelievable before the game and during the game, the entirety of the game, really. I bet you tonight it's just not quite there.
I'm sorry, what was that? You bet it was?
I'm saying tonight, I bet the Ranger presence is not quite there. That St. Louis people snatched those tickets up and Texas people weren't planning on sticking around for Game 7.
I think you're onto something. We did see some Ranger. We were just on the field, and there were a lot of Ranger fans gathered behind the Rangers' dugout, but maybe not as many as last night, and certainly not as many walking around outside the stadium before the game.
Well, Craig, if you're on the field, what can you tell us about Nelson Cruz? How's he getting around after that groin injury last night?
You know, you couldn't really tell. He looked fine. And from what we could tell and just the way he was strolling about in batting practice, he looked all right. So I don't know how healthy he is, if he's 60%, 80%, 90%. I guess we'll know here in about an hour.
Were you able to challenge him in a 40?
I was, and then he agreed, and then we started, but then I broke both knees, and so the race was canceled.
It's too bad.
Have you been able to challenge?
We were trying to figure out what kind of vibe was going on the field or what their attitude was, because last night I thought they were really, really loose and really, really confident. And what does that really mean? You know, tonight they seemed a little bit more uptight, a little more focused, but not ridiculously so. I don't know that you can tell anything from a team's vibe or attitude before a game. It was a little more subdued maybe than last night.
How did the keep away with Nelson Cruz's glove go? Did he get it back?
I'm sorry, I'm sure that was funny, but you're breaking up. I just maybe heard keep away with Nelson Cruz.
Nelson Cruz, never mind. It may have been funny, but not funny enough to reissue.
Never mind.
Hey, have you guys talked about the C.J. Wilson storyline for tonight?
Which no.
I
think,
as bad as he's been in this postseason, and he's apparently Wash's first option out of the bullpen tonight, mm-hmm. Couldn't he redeem himself tremendously if he gives them, who knows what they'll need, three or four really strong innings? Wouldn't that, as long as it led to a Ranger win, wouldn't that kind of go a long way in making right what he's done wrong this postseason?
No, it would be huge if he could turn the thing around like that. You know, I don't know what the end of this season is going to portend for him, but right now it's probably not going to be as it doesn't seem like it might be as lucrative as it, was going to be before all this. So,
hey, you were breaking up a little bit there. I'm sure it was funny, though.
No, it really wasn't.
Oh, dear, Junior.
Are you in trouble, Craig?
It wasn't me. It was Gordon.
Where are y'all's seats, by the way? Are you in the same section, that auxiliary press box?
Yeah, right now I'm on a landing on the outside of the stadium overlooking the main entrance.
Yeah.
It's easier to get a sell out here.
Sounds like you're trying to buy some yellow caps.
Out, but I'm sorry, Sean, I didn't hear that, but I'm sure it was hilarious.
So you're in the clubhouse last night, correct, Junior?
Yes.
And who did you talk to? And I mean, obviously everybody was a little bummed out, but what was the collective vibe last night? Because, you know, we're seeing little clips on TV, but what was it like on the whole?
You know, I was in the gangbangs for Colby and Michael Young, Hamilton, Felton, Nelson Cruz. And for the most part, the sense I got was that they were all in a state of shock.
Jeff, you know, Houston?
It looked like they had just gone through hell and back, and like they didn't know what hit them. And they were trying to keep a positive mindset and say all the right things, but they had this, you know, that million-mile stare that you see in some people's eyes? Maybe they've just returned from war. That's what it seemed like to me. That's why we're a little worried about how they bounce back tonight, because I think they really were shocked last night. It took them a long, long time to get out of the showers and the food area to come out into the locker room area. We were waiting a long time.
See, that's what I was trying, and I swear you put it correctly, because people were asking me about Mike last night. We were watching the game in Fort Worth, Craig, after our remote, and people asked me what you were like after the game, and I'm like, he had this really far away look in his eyes, like, but I did too. I mean, it's just like, what just happened? It's probably just like, I think it's just like coming home from war. That's what me and Mike were feeling last
night. That's right, we were.
Just like Nam.
We fought. Yeah, it was like Nam all over again, man. Those were the toughest days ever.
Flashbacks and everything.
Yeah. Yes. So how was the David Hulse gangbang?
You know, I wasn't a part of that, mainly because he's not a part of the team, so.
Right.
But, hey, this will be good news for Rangers fans. I was watching the NBC local broadcast here. And they had their own version of Laura Miller. It was their female weatherman, or weatherwoman, whatever you would call her.
Hmm.
Female weather thing. And
she hot?
No. And she said, all right, forecast for tonight is perfect. Temperatures in the upper 40s, no wind, clear skies. And forecast for Sunday for that parade, 60 degrees and sunny.
Uh-oh.
Awesome.
God.
So if you believe in the jinx thing, maybe they've got their own version of Laura Miller.
But didn't Fox 4 offset that by tweeting ahead of time that the Rangers had won the World Series last night?
Yeah, and then did you see their correction?
Yes.
It said, correction, St. Louis has come back to tie the game and we're going into overtime.
Oh, my God.
Overtime. Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. Fox 4 tweeted that?
Yes.
They sent out a news alert.
Right. But the Rangers had won the World Series.
Oh, my God.
Did Clarice tweet that or what?
And then they corrected
it. I think Heather Hag did.
Overtime.
Yeah, overtime.
Wow. Well, I really hope they avoid overtime tonight with these bullpens being worked. Man, overtime. God. Well, Junes, do you have anything else to report or anything else funny to say we can't hear?
You guys got the La Russa lineup changes. Holiday is out.
Yep. Yes.
Right.
And Craig will start, and Terrio's going to hit leadoff. So, a little movement there. Other than that, no. The only thing I have to report is that my pizza's getting cold.
Well, go eat your pizza, Craig.
Okay, Corby. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
There he goes. There's Junes.
Weird phone
Junior
call.
Miller, yes. He sounded like he was in Fallujah or something in St. Louis. Wow. Well, we are less than 40 minutes or so away from first pitch at Busch Stadium, Game 7 of this World Series. It's 6:27 coming up next on this World Series pregame show. We talk to Mike and Corby about tonight's starting pitchers, and we look at those bull penises.
Station Fitness Show.
Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket means what we say. Baseball is a talking sport, and this is the only place to talk about Rangers, Cardinals, and the World Series.
When you lose like that, how do you come back and win the next night?
This thing is going all seven.
One of the most incredibly epic games you'll ever see.
This is going to go down as the greatest World Series game of all time.
It was the greatest World Series game that I've ever seen.
It comes down to Game 7 for the Rangers.
Epic, gut-wrenching,
Heartbreaking? One for the ages?
Instant knee-jerk reactions and hot sports opinions as the Rangers head into a deciding World Series Game 7. Brought to you by Jay Gilligan's, Centennial Fine Wine and Spirits, DriverSelect.com, Southwest Airlines, and only on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
Heard also on 99.5 HD2.
This hour of The Hardline brought to you by Driver Select.
Runs, hits, errors, hot sports opinions. Yep, it's our Rangers-Cardinals World Series pregame show. Live from St. Louis in the Mothership. And brought to you by Jay Gilligan's, Centennial Big Daddy's Majestic. And live exclusively on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
Suit.
Couple of items here. Join Shoopy and the Stars Saturday night for a hat trick or treat. Before you watch the Stars take on Satan, hang out on the concourse. Kids and adults, wear your costume to the game. Adults, there's that word coming up again today.
Too many adults around here. We need more kids.
Right. Wear your costume. You could win a meet and greet with a Stars player and four glass seats to a future game. Get to the game early on Saturday night. Hat trick or treat with Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket, and the Stars, and Shoopy. Don't forget the Petty Theft Show Saturday night at Tolbert's in Grapevine. Downbeat there will be 9:30, and if things don't go right tonight, I'll have to be propped up by scotch. Back to you, Sean.
Thank you, Mike. Very professional of you. 6:37 on The Ticket. This is the World Series pregame show, and we were talking a little bit about Matty Harrison and just how this bullpen's going to set up, and Craig Miller brought up how CJ is going to be the first one out, and how are you boys feeling about past CJ? I mean, I know we talked about Ogando a bit. You don't really trust him, but Wash said he's going to go right back to Neftali in the ninth if need be, and we know Mike Adams is fresh, so I guess we got that going for us, right?
I would expect that beyond CJ and perhaps the Dutch oven, that the bullpen will probably...
It's game seven, right? Is this game seven?
This is game 180 on the season, too, which is crazy to think
about. All hands on deck.
All hands on deck, and I'm not worried about anybody. Just, if you need him, get out there.
Give him what you got.
Both sides are the same right now. It's not like one-time team has a distinct advantage rest-wise.
Right. Let's not forget, they're a little bit used up, too.
Yep. Mm-hmm. How about Mott? I mean, a lot of people are talking about Feliz's head and where he's at, but, you know, Mott has...
He hasn't had an easy ride in this series either.
No, I mean, he blew the save in game two. I guess technically he didn't because he got pulled out before sack flies. But he did. And you could tell that Elvis, he was so worried about Elvis Andrus running last night, like Kinsler did, that, you know, he hung one to Hamilton and Hamilton took it out. So you have to think that the game's close in the ninth inning, Rangers can get something off of him.
And now we're seeing no Matt Holliday in the lineup because he was
he's actually been
replaced on the roster. Yeah, because he jammed his wrist really bad last night, getting gunned down at third by Knapp, which, by the way, that was just an incredibly big play.
Oh, my God.
But I kind of feel that might, I'm not going to say it's going to hurt Texas tonight, but that's a struggling bat that's now out of their lineup. And it gets replaced by a dude like Schumacher. Now, Craig's going to be hitting second. Terrio's going to be in the leadoff spot. And, you know, those guys aren't going to blow you away, but at least they're giving Tony productive at-bats right now, and Holliday really wasn't.
MLB did a stat on that, on Holliday in the lineup and not in the lineup earlier today, and they are infinitely worse when he's not in the lineup.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah,
they're a full a full run and a half worse per game when Matt Holliday's not in the lineup.
It makes the bottom of their order so much more, I guess, easy to get through because he does bring a lot to them. Bergman doesn't bat cleanup against lefties. I mean, he batted cleanup against the righty Lewis in game two and in game six last night. But, you know, with Terrio, I think the more interesting move is Terrio leading off the game and no Rafael Furcal.
Well, Furcal's batting seventh today. So what that does with he and Schumacher, that gives them a little bit more speed in front of Carpenter. And I wonder if Tony, especially early in this game, if Matt Harrison has any command issues, maybe he wants to get more aggressive than he's been throughout this series.
And how are we feeling about Carpenter anyway?
That's the big question.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm a St. Louis fan, I am so happy that he's in there.
Well, he sucked on 3 days rest earlier in the playoffs, but that wasn't Game 7 of the World Series.
Yeah.
I would expect that guy to go until his arm falls off.
I don't think he's, you know, Curt Schilling-esque, but he can certainly He can certainly do some serious damage.
He's the best starter in this series.
Oh, God, yes.
By a lot. Well, he's
probably the best pitcher in this series. But you have to like the Rangers. Just the more they see a guy, the more that they get to know the pitcher, know what he's going to throw. And, you know, the Rangers have hit him a little bit.
Well,
and,
I think
Evan Grant did have that big number yesterday about what happens when the Rangers face a guy for the third time this year.
And also, you know, David, you brought this up last time, Cart pitch, that when, you know, the pitch count gets above 70, 74.
75, it goes opponent's bat over 300 against him.
My prediction is that once he does get around that point, mm-hmm. that we start seeing some bullpen work.
Yeah,
that stat can't be lost.
I think that with Harrison, and you get the same thing with Harrison, by the way, it's almost identical. His after he gets around to that third time through the order, 75-pitch mark, I think that all Wash is wanting from Harrison tonight is get through the order twice and then give the ball, you know, over to CJ and take it from there. And hopefully that's, you know, through five innings, six innings. But with Carpenter, you know that La Russa is going to have a quick leash on him like he did last night with Garcia.
And, you know, I brought it up before, I don't know, last game or game five, just the importance of defense.
We talked about that last night.
Yeah, just the importance of defense. And then we see five errors, you know, for both clubs last night. You know, Michael Young makes two crucial errors, and you have to have his bat, and he's once again going to be playing first base for this thing tonight. And
yeah, and I think they hurt themselves with that move last night.
Sure did.
You're talking about taking Young out earlier?
Yeah, getting him out of there just because it seemed like they were pissed at him.
Yeah.
You know,
we talked about that, Mike. Maybe it forced his hand a little early. Wash went to it too soon.
Yeah, I think he did. I don't think there's any question about that.
Because Young was supposed to bat in the eighth inning. And
yeah.
Instead, you have suddenly Mitch the Bitch is, you know, hitting cleanup for you. And
that goes in the line of moves that don't make sense, where you hang on to certain players too long and you have a quick leash and a quick hook with them with the others. So.
And I know he'd been having a tough night out there and everything. And, well, he wasn't having a tough night. He was having an awful night in the field.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time of the game, you've got to just hope that nothing worse happens out there. And maybe this is just, you know, he can get you through the rest of the game without any further disasters. But you need his bat at that time of the game, man.
Yeah. And something else is getting lost in the shuffle from all the insanity of last night was just the brain fart by Elvis Andrus. Instead of running to second or just quickly throwing the ball to first with two outs, mm-hmm. they allow an infield hit in the eighth inning.
Oh, my God.
Man, what a costly mistake, man.
That was such a mental error. And, you know, it's one of those things that just puts the heart of the Cardinals lineup in the ninth. And if they don't make that mistake, and if maybe they make a pitching change earlier in that inning, who knows? Maybe we're not even doing a pregame show
but
right now.
Molina's a runner at first base. And even if Kinsler's playing them to pull, you have to trust that Kinsler can beat him to the bag instead of taking his time to throw it across the diamond.
Well, you saw the play that both Elvis and Kinsler made on the bunt last night where, you know, the bunt goes over Beltre's head charging in. Elvis does a great job to back it up, and Kinsler has to book it just to get over to
first.
That
was a very impressive play for Elvis to break off his route to third,
right,
to cover
both
third
base.
They
were doing the wheel route.
Well, you guys want to know the difference between Torrey Alba catching for Matt Harrison and what it means for Napoli behind the plate?
I'd love to.
Torrey Alba caught him. They caught almost the exact same amount of games, 14 starts each. And Napoli means a 2.6 ERA for Harrison. Torrey Alba means a 4.39 ERA for Harrison. Opponents batted 290 when Torrey Alba was catching with 10 home runs versus Napoli, 232 batting average against and only three home runs given up.
Hey.
And actually, Napoli caught 100 innings and Torrey Alba caught 82. So
I'm going to say that this is a good move then, leaving Napoli in.
Yeah, and remember, remember Torrey Alba did catch him in Game 3, though. You know, when that game blew up on him and
right. You had Nappy at first base. That's exactly right.
So it's a big difference.
I think you boys talked about it earlier, but just I wonder how much worse that ankle is today, because Danny and I were looking at it during a break.
I can't look at it anymore.
It's just disgusting.
You mean the ankle itself or the play?
The play.
Oh, yeah, dude, I thought he was gone and gone for good.
Me too.
Yeah. And hoping that he was going to be able to recover in time for next year.
I thought it would be June before we saw him again.
That was gruesome.
I had flashbacks to Ruben Mateo at first base when he snapped his femur on first.
Yep. Remember that
Five
great
tools.
Work of Dizzy D and Coco?
No.
Yes.
Then you shouldn't either.
I'm trying to think, though, figure out whether or not he went home last night and got another injection, or if he woke up this morning and it looked like a football, his ankle, and he's been icing it. I mean, it has to look terrible, right? Or it had to at one point this morning. There is no way torque your ankle. I don't care how good an athlete you are. There is no way you torque your ankle like that, and you come out of it like, no biggie.
Well, I'm sure they got him to the ballpark very early today, far earlier than anybody else, I'll bet you. And he's been getting treatment, whatever that means, on the thing constantly.
Well, he was asked, how is he even walking? And he said, I don't know, but we have one game left. It doesn't matter. So he's a gamer.
Buster Olney just tweeted, if Texas gets a lead, the Rangers' plan is to get Cruz out of there. If he's not moving well in the outfield, they're not worried about Napoli. So apparently that treatment is doing the trick. I don't know.
I think the trickle-down effect to this is that David Murphy will face lefty-righty and has to play the entire game because you don't know what's going to happen with Cruz.
Right.
You can't put Gentry in for Murphy like they had this entire series, and with you know, Nelson being the wild card now, his health at least.
Boy, I bet you they just flash Michael Young up there. And, you know, defense, offense, all that aside, he is at the age now where, and he's really the only guy on this team, where he is, besides, regular guy, Darren Oliver, there's a couple on there that are a little older, but still, he's got to be looking at this going, this is it. Not that all of them aren't thinking the same thing, like this may be my last shot, but for him, this really has got to enter into his mind, this is it. And don't make any more stupid-ass, easy. Those fielding plays that he had, I know that he butchered a lot of plays at third base and short over the years, but it's not like those plays were difficult last night. They weren't at all. No.
They were more middle than anything.
Yeah, he cannot do that.
My fear is that it has an effect on the other infielders when they're throwing the ball to Michael Young, they try to guide it and they try to be perfect. You know, the play that Beltre barehanded last night, I know he didn't field it 100% cleanly, but I felt like he kind of pulled back on that, didn't even risk it because Young was at first base.
That was in a weird spot, though. I mean, that ball was at the very base of his wrist.
Yeah.
Seen him throw that ball this year, though.
I don't know. I've never seen a ball like that where you couldn't get a handle on it.
Yeah, he never had a grip.
Yeah, I thought
that was pickup all the way, just because of the pickup that he didn't make that throw. I don't blame him for that.
Yeah, David.
Sorry. So there.
Shut up, Corby.
Wow. Jerk.
Now, what do you think about that with your USC ass? So you play a little football
come in
at
here
USC,
and
you kick
West
a couple
Coast
field
Coast
goals, and now you think you're better than us, huh?
Die!
That's what I got out of it.
Yeah, see there? I shut your ass down, man.
I'm going home.
6:48 on the ticket. Let's wrap it up now.
Going to my high school show.
This is the Ticket Special World Series pregame show, live from St. Louis and the Mothership on Maple. Brought to you by Jay Gilligan's, Centennial Big Daddy's Majestic, and live exclusively on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Yep, 6:56 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. This is Game 7 World Series pregame here on The Ticket. Sean Bass and David Newberry in studio. Mike and Corby, the hardline, the baseball show of record on remote right now, and they are singing the national anthem at Busch Stadium, and Daughtry just wrapped things up. Boy,
good sign for us.
Yeah,
that they hired a doucher like that to sing in their park.
Scott Harrison's in here right now, and he said that's the biggest crowd he's played in front of maybe ever.
Hell yeah, it is. You kidding me?
So
who?
Daughtry.
No, who's in there?
Scott Harrison.
Scott Harrison of the Soul Patch.
He's pinch hitting for me tonight in Diamond Talk.
I'm right here. If you'd like to talk to me, I'm right here.
Yeah, get this. David can't do Game 7 World Series Diamond Talk because of the...
I got to go talk about Arlington versus North Crowley.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you got to do it with Corbett Smith.
Wait a minute. You got to go watch high school
dude,
football?
I got to go to Las Colinas and do the Sports Day HS.
But he's got to be on the TV.
Yep. So from when to when?
From we go on 10:30 on radio, 11 on TV. Unless the Rangers win at about 11:05, then no show. Then they go to Ranger coverage.
So wait, are you going to get to watch the Rangers
from a studio? Maybe get to catch the end of it, depending on how long the game goes. Kill me.
My
yes,
God.
It's only game 180.
Corbett Smith can't do this.
No, I know. Guy graduated from law school, but he can't do this by himself.
Oh, man. I'm sorry, David.
Yeah, that's why the rain delay really, really hurt me. And obviously last night.
You know what? Call in sick. They'll never know.
I know.
Never once.
Tried. I asked Kat if there's anything I can do. He pretty much shot it down 2 seconds.
It sucks. We're 7 minutes away from game time, and what are we seeing, David? Apparently, Wash had a big motivational speech.
I guess Wash got him all fired up. We're hearing that his pregame speech was priceless, and that it had the entire clubhouse laughing. So,
and this is after getting everybody
included the nude funky chicken.
Yeah,
or right, maybe they played the Knox City guy,
followed by the helicopter.
Maybe.
Yeah, they just wheel out the TV and just play the tape of the Knox City dude clapping and saying, yeah.
All right, so I'm not big on the prediction business.
Sure.
But I'd like to hear what you guys think. Now, I'm going to be the A-hole here, okay? Or the Z-hole, if you will.
Ooh.
I'm going Cards. I'm just not feeling it. I'm going Cards 5-3.
Okay.
I'll bet you a Whopper Jr.
Done.
I still believe.
So we're betting 99 cents.
Yes.